Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Jack.
Houston Station, Jack's on 2.
Good morning. It's a great day for rendezvous docking of SpaceX 34. We have a couple updates for you. Wanted to let you know that we're about 23 minutes ahead on the timeline, so I wanted to give you a heads up as that might impact when you want to get started with your ARED exercise. Additionally, it looks like you have the lab shutters, the cupola shutters closed, so those bars in the crew band will move to the left 23 minutes. How copy?
Hey, copy. I'm partway through ARED now, so we'll be ready. Sylvie and I will start a half hour early, and we also note that lab and cupola shutters will need to get closed a half hour earlier.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's all I got.
Sun's just coming up on us now. It's a beautiful day. We're excited to see 34 show up.
We are too. Concur.
Huntsville, Chris on 2 for Veggie Hardware Gather, Stone Oat Line 10.
And we're with you on 2, Chris.
Yeah, I'm having some trouble finding a hemostat in this 1.0 CTB. I was wondering if you had any further guidance. I mean, this bag has like maybe 60 or 70 individual Ziploc bags that are bags inside of bags. Are we expecting it to be in a bag with something? I wasn't able to find it in there.
Copy that, Chris. Yeah, we will dig into that for you. While we're looking into it, may we borrow a moment of your time?
Absolutely.
We just need a quick assist with Sable 3, which is at call, aft 1, Bravo 1. Please open the door, keep it open for 1 minute, and then close the door.
Copy. I'm looking at Sable 3 right now, and I will open it, keep it open for 1 minute, and then close the door.
Thanks, Chris, and we will get info on that hemostat.
Copy. If it's helpful at all, I know we have like a small curved tip hemostat that's like crew deployed on the MWA. I don't know if that would work for what we're looking for. If you have any guidance on like whether it's stowed with other items in that BFF bag or if there's an alternate location, I would take that.
We copy, Chris. Station has 1-2 for Chris and hemostat.
Go ahead on 2 for hemostat.
All right, Chris, so we're tracking. It is in a Ziploc bag labeled BFF accessories or accessory bag. There should be at least one EFD bubble bag for the hemostat. It'll be the only item in said bubble bag. So you're looking for a bubble bag that just has the hemostat by itself.
Okay, I think I saw the BFF accessories bag. Let me double check there. I didn't think I saw a hemostat in there. And the Sable door has been opened and closed.
Copy that, and we appreciate your help.
Huntsville, Chris on 2. Yep, that was the key. The BFF accessories bag had it inside of it in a bubble bag. Thanks.
And we're glad you found it. And we'll be working Veggie Ops on Space Ground 3 today, so I'll meet you over there whenever you call again.
Happy. Meet you on 3 shortly. Huntsville, Chris.
Good morning from Mission Control in Houston in the International Space Station, a flight control room at NASA's Johnson Space Center, as we are monitoring live the arrival of NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission heading towards the International Space Station. At this hour, Flight Director Diana Trujillo, Capcom Alex Kanalakos, and the Somos flight team are working closely with SpaceX Mission Control in Hawthorne, California, to monitor the cargo craft as it makes its way towards the orbiting laboratory. In about 5 minutes from now, the approach initiation burn for the Dragon spacecraft will be initiated, and that will begin the final approach for the vehicle, moving from 2.5 kilometers below the station to about 400 meters directly underneath it. Integrated operations between the two teams in Mission Control and in SpaceX have already gone underway. The teams have already pulled go for the approach initiation burn, and that sets up for these final few moments of the Dragon's spacecraft's arrival. upon docking, currently targeted for approximately 5:38 a.m. Central Time, 6:38 a.m. Eastern Time, about 22 minutes earlier than originally planned, will complete a nearly 37-hour journey for the spacecraft that began on Friday evening at 6:05 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:05 p.m. Central, lifting off from Space Launch Complex 40 and Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. And again, we'll continue to monitor the approach initiation burn, now targeting 3 minutes and 52 seconds from now. The Dragon spacecraft has already completed a sequence of burns throughout the early morning hours and since its launch time to not only raise its altitude but catch up to the International Space Station. We'll cover those in just a few more moments. On board the International Space Station, the Expedition 74 crew is awake and in their early morning activities. And on tap to monitor Dragon's arrival and docking will be NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway and ESA astronaut, European Space Agency astronaut Sophie Adno. They will monitor from the cupola using special software and will follow Dragon all the way into its final destination, which will be the forward port of the International Space Station's Harmony Module. And again, that docking time anticipated for 5:38 a.m. Central, 6:38 a.m. Eastern. And you can see the vehicles that are currently with the International Space Station, and there's that forward port in which the Cargo Dragon will dock with Crew 12's Dragon at the Zenith port of the Harmony Module, joining Progress 94, Progress 95, Soyuz MS-28 that brought up NASA astronaut Chris Williams, Sergei Kudsverchkov, the International Space Station commander, and Sergei Mikheyev, and the Northrop Grumman Cygnus 24 cargo spacecraft. And aboard that Crew 12 Dragon that arrived at the space station back in February that carried up Jack Hathaway on tap for monitoring duties this morning, along with Jessica Meir of NASA, Sophie Adno, and Andrei Fedyaev. And a view here of the International Space Station Flight Control Room here at NASA's Johnson Space Center as we are now nearly 2 minutes away from the approach initiation burn. That'll be about a 90-second burn that, again, will pull the Dragon spacecraft from 2.5 kilometers below station up to 400 meters directly beneath it. Now, just before the broadcast started, the teams working on the ground for all checkouts for the Dragon spacecraft and the International Space Station, including the C2 and V2 communication system, or the common communications for visiting vehicles, to link up with the International Space Station. On board Dragon, nearly 6,500 pounds of food, fuel, and supplies for the Expedition 74 crew, and that'll spend about 1 month docked to the International Space Station. About 4,700 pounds of total pressurized cargo with packaging, and a little more than 1,700 pounds unpressurized, including crew supplies, science investigations, space launch equipment, vehicle hardware, and computer resources. And we'll take a closer look at some of the silent science highlights on board Dragon. We are now 50 seconds away from the approach initiation burn, and we'll stand by for monitoring. Now the Dragon cargo spacecraft 20 seconds away from the approach initiation burn to begin its final leg of the journey to the International Space Station. And we just received confirmation that the approach initiation burn is underway. And again, about a 90-second burn will continue to monitor throughout. Now 42 seconds into the approach initiation burn, currently underway, as the Draco thrusters firing on the Dragon spacecraft to again pull the spacecraft to about 400 meters directly beneath the International Space Station. Another 25 seconds remaining in the approach initiation burn. All teams here in Houston, as well as in SpaceX in Hawthorne, California, monitoring. And we just received confirmation that the approach initiation burn has been complete and is nominal. So again, Dragon making its way to about 400 meters directly beneath the International Space Station as integrated operations well underway between the NASA and SpaceX teams. So now with the approach initiation burn complete, the approach setup and maneuvering will continue on for the Dragon spacecraft. There will be a go, no-go poll conducted by both the SpaceX and NASA teams that will allow for the spacecraft to reach waypoint zero, the first of three checkpoints along the path to docking to that forward port of the Harmony module. Hearing communications inside of Mission Control. That teams continue to monitor the Dragon spacecraft and the International Space Station. And there now you can see on the left-hand side, joining us from Houston.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for rendezvous and docking.
Clearing the station, go ahead on 2.
Approach initiation burn is complete. Dragon is 30 minutes to the 1,000 meters. Also, we wanted to let you know that docking, or we're approximately 28 minutes early right now. And then when you have a chance, we'd like some help on the SSC and the cupola, SSC 11, if you could drop the apps so we can see the RPOP display.
Copy. I'll be there right away, and Zach and I are ready, and we are about to, sync and brief, and so, yeah. Copy the 28 minutes ahead of the schedule.
Awesome, Sophie. And then one more thing. We unfortunately dropped the virtual ATU on the Teams call, so if there's any way to dial back in on your Teams, that'd be great.
Copy. I'll give you a status when we are in the cupola.
And there you just heard communications between the teams here at the International Space Station Flight Control Room. CAPCOM, Alex Konolakos communicating with ESA astronaut, European Space Agency astronaut Sophie Adno, who is joining NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway for approach and monitoring of the Dragon spacecraft this morning. And a little less now than 30 minutes away from the spacecraft reaching the 1,000-meter mark. And they gave an update on the time, which is even a little bit earlier than what we were tracking at the start of today's broadcast, now 28 minutes earlier, which would put the approximate docking time to 5:32 a.m. Eastern time, or Central Time, 6:32 a.m. Eastern. So again, that communicated up to Sophie Adno, ESA astronaut on board the International Space Station from Mission Control here in Houston, that the Dragon spacecraft has again completed the approach initiation burn, less than 30 minutes away from reaching the 1,000-meter mark, and is ahead of schedule, about 28 minutes ahead of the original anticipated docking time. And again, looking at 5:32 a.m. Central, 6:32 a.m. Eastern. Now, next up for the Dragon spacecraft and its pursuit to the International Space Station will be reaching waypoint zero, a sequence of checkpoints for the spacecraft to properly align itself and for both teams here in Houston and in SpaceX in Hawthorne, California, make sure that all systems are good before a further approach to the orbiting laboratory. Waypoint zero currently on the clock for about 39 minutes from now, and this will allow Dragon to enter the first safety zone called the approach ellipsoid, and that'll be on a path to be safely outside of that zone for at least 24 hours if needed. If everything checks out, Dragon is cleared to move inside. Then the keep-out sphere, another boundary around the International Space Station, a 200-meter safety bubble around the orbiting laboratory. And there you can see those two boundaries that outline around the orbiting laboratory. So again, waypoint zero coming up in about 39 minutes from now. This is Mission Control Houston as we continue to monitor NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission heading towards the International Space Station as the approach initiation burn has been completed, as Dragon now making its way to about 400 meters directly beneath the International Space Station and will continue its approach, looking to reach waypoint zero in about 37 minutes from now. If necessary, a mid-course burn, an approach initiation mid-course burn can be executed to again fine-tune the spacecraft's path to the orbiting laboratory. Docking time currently scheduled for 5:32 a.m. Central Time, 6:32 a.m. Eastern, as they recently just relayed communications up to the crew, NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway and ESA astronaut Sophie Adno, that the docking is approximately 28 minutes earlier than originally planned. So this will complete, upon docking, nearly a 37-hour journey for this Dragon cargo spacecraft, making its sixth flight. That journey for the Dragon spacecraft would begin Friday evening at 6:05 p.m. Eastern, 5:05 p.m. Central Time, upon liftoff from Space Launch Complex 40 in Cape Canaveral Space Force Station, as we take a look at some of the highlights from the launch day festivities. As Dragon and the Falcon 9 two-stage booster would clear the tower and make its way upward. And that's first stage booster also making its sixth flight into space. That would carry the cargo craft carrying 6,500 pounds of food, fuel, food and supplies to the Expedition 74 crew. Is about an 8.5-minute ride into its initial orbit. And a view from the first stage booster that would help carry this cargo craft to space for the sixth time, the first cargo Dragon spacecraft to fly for the sixth time. And again, great performance there from all, both stages, the first and the second stage. First stage would return back to Earth at landing zone 40 at Space Launch Complex 40 in Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. The AI mid-course burn now, as the Dragon spacecraft has completed its approach initiation burn, the mid-course burn, in about 14 minutes from this moment to continue to fine-tune the spacecraft's path to the International Space Station en route to what would be the first of three major checkpoints, waypoint zero. That'll be about 35 minutes from now. Now, I mentioned earlier that this cargo craft carrying 6,500 pounds of food, supplies, and science research. Let's take a closer look at some of the highlights of that research that Dragon is carrying today.
Sophie, you got your loud and clear on two in the cupola.
Yes. You just mentioned earlier that you needed some help for one SSC in the cupola. I'm in the cupola, ready to help.
And Sophie, we just need you to minimize that Optimus view and any other apps that may be up. We're hoping to see just the RPOP. And actually, one correction for you, Sophie. Can you please close that app?
Closing Optimus view on SSC 11.
And that is perfect, Sophie. Thanks for your help there. It's got a good view now.
And for now, we have, of course, no video for the DDM. And we have in the background the RPOP, so I think it's good.
Okay, yep, we're happy with the config for now, and we do see the timestamp, so everything is working as expected.
Great news.
Communications there between the team here in Mission Control and the International Space Station Flight Control Room. Speaking with ESA astronaut Sophie Adno, who is joining NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway for approach and monitoring, doing a communications check from the cupola, as that is where they will be doing their monitoring from. And you heard them talking about configurations for software that they'll be using to monitor the rendezvous, proximity ops, and docking of the Dragon cargo spacecraft. So good to hear that all communications checking out as those two continuing.
And Sophie, we see that you've rejoined the Teams call. Thank you for that. Just a heads up, that may occur again, so you can just keep an eye on it and rejoin if you need to.
Yeah, sure. I think at every KUL it's going to drop, so no worries. We'll reconnect every time we need it.
So good to hear there that the communications checkout's working well for ESA astronaut Sophie Adno and the teams here in Mission Control Houston, as Jack Hathaway and Sophie Adno again preparing for the arrival of NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission, now about 10 minutes away from the AI mid-course burn for the Dragon spacecraft to continue fine-tuning its route to the orbiting laboratory, and about half an hour, 31 minutes or so from now reaching a waypoint zero. But as mentioned earlier, nearly 6,500-pound food and supplies, including research investigations, are on board Dragon today. Let's quickly take a look at some of the highlights of what Dragon is carrying to the Expedition 74 crew. The first research investigation is Odyssey, and Odyssey evaluates how well Earth-based microgravity simulators recreate space conditions. Researchers will examine bacterial behavior in space and compare the results to experiments conducted in microgravity simulators here on Earth. Another investigation that is making its way to the International Space Station is STORY. This instrument monitors charged particles in orbit around the Earth. These particles respond to space weather and can impact human assets on the ground, like power grids and satellites. STORY could help researchers gain knowledge to better predict and respond to these changes. LAPLACE is a research investigation that studies the movement and collision of dust particles in microgravity to understand particle motion in space and other atmospheres. Researchers hope to learn about Earth's origins and provide fundamental understanding of how planets in our solar system and beyond have come into existence. The Green Bone research investigation observes how bone cells grow and develop on a bone scaffold made from wood in space. Microgravity results could help researchers improve products that treat fragile bone conditions such as osteoporosis. And the last research investigation to highlight is SPARC. SPARC evaluates how well red blood cells and the spleen change in space. Researchers will observe human samples and imagery taken before, during, and after spaceflight to identify ways to protect astronaut health during long-duration space missions. Now, these are just some of the incredible research flying to the International Space Station today aboard the 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission between NASA and SpaceX, and you can find out more at nasa.gov/ISS-science. Now, also on board Dragon, in addition to this incredible research, is several bulk oval wrap bags, or BOBs as we call them, delivering a mix of standard and crew requested shelf stable and fresh food. So we continue to monitor along the approach of NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission, now 7.5 minutes away from the AI mid-course burn. And in about 28 minutes from now, we will see Dragon's arrival to waypoint zero. A view of the International Space Station Flight Control Room, Diana Trujillo, Flight Director, and the SOMOS flight team closely monitoring both Dragon's approach and the International Space Station. And we will hear more and more calls and updates from the crew. Again, Jack Hathaway and Sophie Adno will be positioned in the cupola to monitor the arrival and docking, which again, an earlier docking time. In recent conversations with the crew just moments ago, tracking 28 minutes earlier than originally anticipated, 5:32 a.m. Central Time at 6:32 a.m. Eastern Time. At this hour, the International Space Station with the Dragon spacecraft catching up to it, flying 263 miles just to the east of South America. And will soon be crossing into Chile and Argentina before making its way into the South Atlantic Ocean. Now approaching 5 minutes and 20 seconds away from the AI mid-course burn, one of several burns that the Dragon spacecraft executed on its chase towards the International Space Station. Five key burns highlight the journey for the spacecraft, the phase burn, which occurred about 45 minutes after liftoff, and that was performed at the first apogee, or the highest point of Dragon's initial orbit, and raised its perigee, or lowest point, to a higher altitude, then followed up by the boost burn, close burn, transfer burn, and final coat elliptic burn that not only allowed Dragon to raise its altitude, but also pull closer to the International Space Station. They have already executed the approach initiation burn to continue its approach to the International Space Station. That was done at 4:08 a.m. Central Time, 5:08 a.m. Eastern. Now 4 minutes away from the approach initiation mid-course burn, as the Dragon spacecraft continues to maneuver itself closer and closer to the International Space Station. The Expedition 74 crew anxiously awaiting this arrival of 6,500 pounds of food supplies and cargo and the research investigations that we just highlighted a moment ago. Sergei Kudryavtsev, the station commander of Roscosmos, along with NASA astronauts Chris Williams, Jessica Meir, and Jack Hathaway. Sergei Mikheyev and Andrei Fedyaev of Roscosmos also joining the Expedition at 74 crew, and Sophie Adno, who again is joining Jack Hathaway for monitoring Dragon's arrival. For Williams, Sergei Kudryavtsev, and Mikheyev, they would arrive to the International Space Station last November on Thanksgiving, November 27th, and have now crossed into their 171st day aboard the orbiting laboratory in their mission. And as for Jessica Meir, Jack Hathaway, Sophie Adno, and Andrei Fedyaev, they were members of NASA's SpaceX Crew 12 that launched back on February 13th aboard Dragon Freedom in its fifth flight. And for Hathaway and Adno monitoring, this is their first flight to microgravity and the International Space Station. Hathaway, a member of NASA Group 21, a recent graduate, and for Sophie Adno, a part of the ESA astronaut group selected in 2022. We are now coming up on 2 minutes to the AI mid-course burn, and we'll continue to monitor as the International Space Station and the Dragon cargo spacecraft continuing its journey over the South Pacific Ocean, and again about to cross over onto the eastern coastline of Chile. And there you can see our very first views of the Dragon cargo spacecraft as seen from the International Space Station, which they are currently in an orbital nighttime. So all that you can see of the Dragon spacecraft is that strobe blinking in the middle of your screen that helps illuminate its location, and for Jack Hathaway and Sophie Adno to help monitor its location. And as it gets closer, we'll see more lights on the Dragon spacecraft, the navigation lights, red and green, also coming into view, but great to see the spacecraft, and again from an external camera, aboard the International Space Station. We are now 12 seconds away from the AI mid-course burn, and we'll stand by for monitoring. And receive confirmation that the mid-course burn is now underway. We are 44 seconds into the AI mid-course burn, approach initiation mid-course burn, as Dragon continues to fine-tune its path towards the International Space Station. And upon completion of this burn, it'll be just on the outside of the approach ellipsoid, the first of two imaginary boundaries surrounding the International Space Station, the neighborhood of the International Space Station, a 4 kilometer by 2 kilometer by 2 kilometer oval around the orbiting laboratory. Visiting vehicle officer here in Mission Control in Houston confirming with the flight director, Diana Trujillo, that the AI mid-course burn has been completed and went to plan, nominal. And now the team's preparing for the go-no-go poll for waypoint zero between the SpaceX teams in Hawthorne, California, and the teams here in Mission Control, Houston. And waypoint zero is once the Dragon spacecraft arrives at the 400-meter mark below the International Space Station. And that will be, again, the first checkpoint during our approach this morning. Right now, the spacecraft about 1,170 meters away from the International Space Station, closing in at about 1.6 meters per second. And we'll hit that 1,000 meter mark in about a minute and 39 seconds from now. And again, there's the two teams working closely in integrated operations, which got underway just before the broadcast started this morning. That is the SpaceX Mission Control in Hawthorne, in California, on your left, and the International Space Station Flight Control Room here at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston on the right-hand side. At this hour, the space station currently traveling at 270 miles above the Earth, statute miles, in which the team on the right-hand side closely monitoring as it flies in that incline of 51.6 degrees to either side of the equator and currently crossing over Argentina and about to make its way into the South Atlantic Ocean. And there we can see the Dragon cargo spacecraft a little bit closer, and there you can see those navigation lights we were talking about earlier with the blinking strobe in the middle as the International Space Station currently in an orbital nighttime. And as we get clearer views, we will see that strobe in addition to the left and right.
Dragon range is approximately 1,000 meters. Monitor long-range approach per steps 1, 2, 4 in 1.102. Dragon approach and retreat monitoring.
1,000 meter, and we'll start monitoring with procedure 1.102, block 1.
That's a good copy, and we dropped the team, so if you can reconnect, that'd be great.
Okay.
And that was Capcom Alex Konolakos relaying up to Sophie Adno and Jack Hathaway, along with the Expedition 74 crew, that the Dragon spacecraft is now less than 1,000 meters away from the International Space Station. Anticipated docking time, 5:32 a.m. Central, 6:32 a.m. Eastern. They have completed the approach initiation burn and the approach initiation mid-course burn. In about 4 minutes from now, we will have the go-no-go poll for Dragon to make its way to waypoint zero. Now, waypoint zero is the first of three checkpoints, if you will, on Dragon's final approach to docking to the International Space Station, also waypoint one, which will be about 220 meters for the spacecraft in front of the docking port. And today, again, the spacecraft will be docking to the forward port of the International Space Station's Harmony module. And then waypoint two will be just 20 meters away. And that will allow
Space Station, Jaxon 2, seen a range of 862. Dragon is in sight with a good attitude.
Copy the visual.
And great to hear that. That was NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway relaying down to the ground that they have visuals on the spacecraft with good attitude. Approaching 3 minutes until the go-no-go pole for waypoint zero. And again, that'll be for the spacecraft to be about 400 meters under the International Space Station. And then from there, moving on to waypoint one, which would move Dragon around in front of that forward port of the Harmony module at approximately 220 meters. And then waypoint two would be just 20 meters away for its final approach. And again, the targeting docking time a little ahead of schedule today. As they relayed to the crew earlier, about 28 minutes ahead of schedule, looking at 5:32 a.m. Central Time, 6:32 a.m. Eastern, delivering 6,500 pounds of cargo, science, and supplies. This is Mission Control, Houston. Again, thank you again for following along this morning for the rendezvous and docking of NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission to the International Space Station, as we have visuals on the Dragon cargo spacecraft. NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway and ESA astronaut Sophie Adno monitoring. They just relayed down moments ago that they have visuals themselves and are using special rendezvous and proximity operations and docking hardware and software aboard the International Space Station to monitor Dragon's arrival, approach, and docking. We are now coming up in less than a minute to the go-no-go poll for Dragon to approach waypoint zero. And communications inside Mission Control Houston just confirmed Deanna Trujillo and the Somos flight team working diligently this morning, and they have given the go for approach to waypoint zero. So with that go, Dragon will continue its movement towards waypoint zero, which will be 400 meters below the International Space Station. It'll reach that mark in about 9 minutes and 38 seconds from now. Right now it is currently 630 meters away from the International Space Station, closing in at a rate of 0.73 meters per second. And now as we get visuals of the Dragon spacecraft, you can see the clouds below it starting to illuminate as the International Space Station and the Dragon spacecraft entering an orbital daytime, and we'll start getting some excellent views of its approach. There you can see the strobe, again, illuminating the Dragon spacecraft, and a great shot there of the sunrise glinting off the side of the cargo craft, flying for its sixth time, the first time a Dragon cargo craft has flown to the space six times. You also catch a small glimpse of the navigation light, the red light, the port side light, and that is what Jack Hathaway and Sophie Adno monitoring today will use to help keep an eye on the orientation of the Dragon spacecraft as it continues to get closer and closer to the International Space Station. And now again closing in at 5,070 meters away and approaching a waypoint zero, which will still be in about 8 minutes from now. International Space Station and Dragon now entering the South Atlantic Ocean before making its way to the northeast. The journey for the cargo spacecraft began on Friday evening, 6.05 p.m. Eastern Time, 5.05 p.m. Central, with an on-time liftoff from Space Launch Complex 40 at Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. And upon docking today will be nearly a 37-hour journey for the spacecraft carrying the 6,500 pounds of food supplies and research to the Expedition at 74 crew. It will be docked for about a month before returning to Earth. And again, a great view there from the International Space Station and the exterior cameras aboard as the teams here in Mission Control Houston quickly zeroing in on Dragon and its arrival. The nose cone hinged open. That occurred just moments after its initial orbit insertion shortly after launch. That nose cone held on by a sequence of hooks to expose the Draco thrusters, the bulkhead of the Draco thrusters, four of them, that allowed Dragon to execute a sequence of burns to not only climb up to a higher altitude, but close the gap in distance between it and the International Space Station. Waypoint zero now coming in to about 5.5 minutes from now. Dragon 495 meters away from the International Space Station. And continuing to close the gap station. And from waypoint zero, Dragon will move up and out in front.
Station. Dragon's altitude is as expected. R is range is now 475, and the nav light is as expected as well.
Copy all. Thanks for that block cargo.
Communications there from ESA astronaut Sophie Adno, joining Jack Hathaway for a monitoring this morning of Dragon's approach and docking, stating that attitude is as expected and gave the updated range of the cargo spacecraft to the International Space Station, now approaching 460 meters away, still about 3 minutes and 45 seconds to reaching a waypoint zero. And again, once waypoint zero, which is inside the approach ellipsoid, has been reached, the teams on the ground will then monitor Dragon's maneuver to waypoint one, which will swing the spacecraft in front of the forward Harmony port of the International Space Station, and there we'll sit at 220 meters and then move in once all systems have been checked out and deemed go towards waypoint two, which would be at 20 meters. in front of that forward docking point port of the Harmony module. Dragon spacecraft continuing to close in on the International Space Station, now 446 meters away, at a range rate of about 0.212 meters per second, and now 2 minutes away from reaching waypoint zero. This is Mission Control Houston. Again, thank you for joining us this morning as the teams here in NASA's Johnson Space Center Mission Control and the International Space Station Flight Control Room, alongside teams at SpaceX Mission Control in Hawthorne, California, monitoring the approach of NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission. The Dragon cargo spacecraft now 1 minute away from reaching a waypoint zero. Dragon and the International Space Station currently orbiting above the Earth 272 statute miles in the South Atlantic Ocean and about to make its way just south of the South African coastline, and then will make its way northeast and will just clip the southern coast of Madagascar before moving into the Indian Ocean. Now 5 seconds away from Dragon and its anticipated arrival at waypoint zero, and we just received confirmation right on time that the spacecraft is now 400 meters below the orbiting laboratory. Now inside the approach ellipsoid, so with Dragon's arrival to waypoint zero, the teams in SpaceX and in Mission Control will pull a go, no-go for waypoint one, and that will be in about 12 minutes from now. And we'll resume those views from the International Space Station as there's a communications handover as expected, but we'll keep an eye on a Dragon's approach and arrival, and again, just reached waypoint zero, and we'll continue on. And a go-no-go poll for waypoint one coming up in about 11 minutes from now. And if all systems look good, Dragon will move into the keep-out sphere, the second boundary in the neighborhood of the International Space Station that has a radius of 200 meters. It'll be just on the outside. Waypoint 1 is about 220 meters in front of the forward port of the Harmony module, just on that boundary, edge of the boundary of the keep-out sphere. Again, the anticipated docking time for Dragon to the International Space Station today, 5:32 a.m. Central, 6:32 a.m. Eastern. Currently working about 28 minutes ahead of the original schedule. Spacecraft now 397 meters away from the orbiting laboratory. This is Mission Control Houston. As we continue to follow along the approach, rendezvous, and eventual docking of NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission, and there you can see the Dragon spacecraft from an external camera view on board the International Space Station. We are 8 minutes and about 43 seconds away from a go-no-go poll for the spacecraft to begin its journey to waypoint 1. So to recap, the Dragon spacecraft has successfully completed the approach initiation burn, and that was earlier this morning at 4:08 a.m. Central Time. It also completed an approach initiation mid-course burn to continue to fine-tune its trajectory. NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway and ESA astronaut Sophie Adno, monitoring from the cupola, have visuals on the cargo spacecraft and continue its approach. It just passed through the approach ellipsoid, reaching waypoint zero a couple of moments ago. And now teams on the ground again will conduct a go-no-go poll for waypoint one. That'll be a little less than 8 minutes from this moment. The spacecraft at 370 meters away from the International Space Station is together, the cargo Dragon and the orbiting laboratory, past now the eastern coast of South Africa and making its way to the southernmost coast of Madagascar, orbiting at an altitude of 268 statute miles above the Earth. Upon docking today, the spacecraft will complete a nearly 37-hour journey that began on Friday evening at 6.05 p.m. Eastern, 5.05 p.m. Central, carrying 6,500 pounds of food, supplies, and science to the orbiting laboratory. The Expedition 74 crew is currently working in the first half of their workday today. We mentioned that both Jack Hathaway and Sophie Adnome will be monitoring Dragon today. Chris Williams, alongside with his Roscosmos colleagues and Station Commander Sergei Kutsverchkov, Sergei Mikheyev, and Andrei Fedyaev, in the middle of their day as well. And Jessica Meir of NASA, also helping with station duties here this morning. The Dragon spacecraft now 357 meters away from the International Space Station. And that go-no-go pole for Waypoint 1 coming up in a little more than 5 minutes from now, as the teams here in Houston as well as in Hawthorne, California, and SpaceX continuing to make sure all systems looking good aboard the orbiting laboratory and aboard Dragon itself as they get ready for its docking, which again, a little bit earlier than the original timeline, 5:32 a.m. Central Time, 6:32 a.m. Eastern. This is Mission Control Houston as we continue to follow along with the approach of NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission, and we'll get you those live views of the Dragon spacecraft from the International Space Station back shortly. This is a look inside the International Space Station Flight Control Room here in Houston, Texas, as NASA's Johnson Space Center is Kiana Trujillo and the Somos flight team actively working through all of the checkouts aboard the orbiting laboratory and closely monitoring today's approach. And here we see our first view from the Dragon cargo spacecraft looking up at the International Space Station as the two together now flying just east of Madagascar and heading into the Indian Ocean. The Dragon now currently at 335 meters away from the orbiting laboratory, and we're still about a minute and a half away from the go-no-go pole for the spacecraft to move on to Waypoint 1. At the top of the screen there of the International Space Station, top middle, if you will, a great view of the other Dragon that is currently on board the International Space Station. That is a part of NASA SpaceX's Crew 12, the Dragon Freedom, that launched to the orbiting laboratory back in February 13th, carrying Crew 12 Commander and NASA astronaut Jessica Meir, pilot Jack Hathaway of NASA, ESA astronaut Sophie Adnome, and Roscosmos cosmonaut Andrei Fedyaev. As the sun glinting off the solar arrays on the right-hand side, you can also see some of the IROSAs, the rollout solar arrays, on display as the cargo spacecraft, again, continuing its approach to the International Space Station, now passing 330 meters away. And coming up now on the go-no-go pole to continue on to Waypoint 1, where it will stand by. And again, a great view there from the International Space Station looking towards the Dragon cargo spacecraft, NASA SpaceX's 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission, as both teams have communicated and now 10 minutes away from the spacecraft to reach Waypoint 1.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2, MCC is go for Dragon to approach to Waypoint 2.
Station copies.
And great communication there is not only was the approval made for Waypoint 1, but also the approval for Dragon to continue its approach to Waypoint 2, which is 20 meters in front of the forward port of the Harmony module. So we are now about 8 minutes away from Dragon reaching the Waypoint 1 mark, which is 220 meters in front of the forward port of Harmony and just on the outside of the keep-out sphere And then we just heard that communication from the ground to NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway monitoring today that the go has been given to continue on to waypoint 2, which will be 20 meters in front of that docking port. Right now the Dragon spacecraft currently at 309 meters out from the orbiting laboratory, closing in at a rate of 0.14 meters per second. Dragon has now reached the 300-meter range mark from the International Space Station. In about 6.5 minutes, we'll reach waypoint 1, about 220 meters in front of the station's forward port of the Harmony module, which is where it will be docking today. And then the go has already been given to then head on to waypoint 2, 28 meters in front. Anticipated docking time today, approximately 5:32 a.m. Central Time and 6:32 a.m. Eastern. As we will continue to follow along with live coverage of NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission that began Friday evening at 6:05 p.m. Eastern, 5:05 p.m. Central, with an on-time liftoff from Space Launch Complex 40 in Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. And it's carrying 6,500 pounds of supplies, cargo, and research to the orbiting laboratory. From there, it'll stay docked for about a month. The crew will snap into action. Once rendezvous and docking has been completed, the team will actively get to work and unloading those 6,500 pounds of cargo, food, and supplies. International Space Station, and with Dragon closing in, now orbiting 259 miles above the Indian Ocean, about to cross the Maldives and into India. Spacecraft now 281 meters away from the orbiting laboratory. And we'll reach waypoint 1, which will be 220 meters away, approximately 4.5 minutes from now. This is Mission Control Houston as we continue our live coverage of NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission on approach this morning. Teams in Houston and NASA's Johnson Space Center and Mission Control in the International Space Station Flight Control Room working in integrated operations with the team in Hawthorne, California and the SpaceX Mission Control as the Dragon cargo spacecraft on approach to the International Space Station now 260 meters away. With the anticipated docking time of 5:32 a.m. Central, 6:32 a.m. Eastern. So far, all systems have gone well, and by the book for Dragon, they completed the approach initiation burn at 4:08 a.m. Central Time, a 90-second burn that would set up its approach to the orbiting laboratory. They would also execute a mid-course burn, AI mid-course burn, to help fine-tune its path. It would reach waypoint 0, given the go to do so, which was 400 meters below, directly below the International Space Station, and then given the go to reach waypoint 1, which had the spacecraft swing up and in front of the International Space Station, in front of the forward port of the Harmony module, which we'll be docking today. And then moments ago, the go is given for Dragon to continue its approach and head towards waypoint 2, which will be 20 meters in front of the docking port. From there, we will keep an eye on soft capture and the soft capture ring for that initial contact, and then that will be retracted. The hooks will drive.
Station Houston on space to ground 2 for rendezvous and docking.
Houston Station, Jack and Sofa with you on 2 for rendezvous and docking.
Just wanted to give you a little status here. We're about 1.5 minutes from waypoint 1.
Happy 90 seconds from waypoint 1. We got a great view of it up here, and we are monitoring in step 2.
Great update there between the teams here in Mission Control Houston and NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway, who he and ESA astronaut Sophie Adnor are monitoring today's approach and docking with great visuals. And we are now 40 seconds away from the Dragon spacecraft reaching waypoint 1. And again, that'll be 220 meters in front of the forward port of the primary module, the International Space Station. And now a great view of the International Space Station from Dragon, as you see the orbiting laboratory getting bigger and bigger, and you can slowly faint out that small dot. Oh, lost communication there just for a moment. We'll get that back as soon as we can. But again, view of Dragon from the orbiting laboratory. As Hathaway and Adno monitoring the orientation and the progress of the cargo Dragon. And we just received confirmation that Dragon has passed waypoint 1. So that is now closing in on 220 meters from the International Space Station and has already been given the go to proceed to waypoint 2. And with that go to approach waypoint 2, that arrival will be about... That arrival for waypoint 2 will be about 10 minutes from now, and we are about 15 minutes away from docking of the Dragon spacecraft to the International Space Station. But before that docking, in about 8 minutes from now, we'll have the go, no-go.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2. A Dragon has passed waypoint 1, and we'd like you in step 3.
Copies, we're in step 3, and we also see approach 2 on my point. That's the one.
And Jack, we may have clipped the last part of your message there. Didn't quite copy.
Sandy was just acknowledging your last message, and for the book, Bravo. So we see the wrench is 185. Vehicle is in the corridor and centered in attitude as expected.
Copy, Block Bravo.
Communications there between NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway and ESA astronaut Sophie Adno to the teams on the ground here in the International Space Station Flight Control Room. And Alex Konolakos, the COPCOM for today's rendezvous and docking. And you heard Sophie mention the range at 185, that is meters away from the International Space Station. In about 6.5 minutes, we will have the formal go, no-go poll for docking. And then about 2 minutes after that will be waypoint 2 arrival, which will put the spacecraft at 20 meters in front of the forward docking port with the expected docking if all checkouts proceed in about 13 minutes from now. Currently at this hour, the Dragon spacecraft and the International Space Station crossing the northeast boundary of India, crossing over into Nepal, orbiting 258 miles above the Earth's surface.
Houston Station in Block 3, we have reviewed steps 5 and 6, and we are ready for docking.
Copy, the procedure review is complete, and you are ready for docking. Station Houston, for rendezvous and docking at waypoint 2, Dragon will hold for approximately 5 minutes.
His copies were expecting a 5 and a hold at waypoint 2.
Good copy.
And good insight there from the teams on the ground relaying to NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway monitoring today's Dragon approach that once Dragon reaches a waypoint 2, they expect a hold. It'll hold its position at that point 20 meters in front of the Harmony module's forward port for approximately 5 minutes as the teams on the ground go through their checkouts before proceeding with final approach and docking. So again, that communication relayed to NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway monitoring today's Dragon approach that once the spacecraft reaches the second waypoint, waypoint 2, it'll execute a 5-minute hold, and we'll continue to monitor from here. We're about 3 minutes away from the formal go and no-go poll for docking for today's mission, NASA SpaceX's 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission. Waypoint 2 arrival will be in about 4.5 minutes from now. And again, there will be a 5-minute hold at waypoint 2. And you are seeing live views from the International Space Station looking at the Dragon cargo spacecraft as it continues its approach and reaching to waypoint to arrival with the nose cone swung opened. Coming up now on 1 minute until the go, no-go pull for docking as teams in Hawthorne, California and here in Mission Control Houston continuing to monitor the approach of the Dragon cargo spacecraft. Now well inside 100 meters and approximately 75 meters away from the International Space Station. There will be a hold at the waypoint 2 mark, which will be 20 meters in front of the forward docking port for about 5 minutes. That'll allow teams on the ground, both here in Houston and in Hawthorne, to monitor all communication systems and range systems to make sure that Dragon is good to go for approach. And there's a great view from Dragon looking at the International Space Station. There you can see that forward docking port front and center with the Crew 12 Dragon spacecraft just above it. That is Dragon Freedom that arrived to station after a launch on February 13th carrying Jessica Meir, Jack Hathaway, Sophie Adno, and Andrei Fedyaev. You can also see below the forward docking port NG-24, Northrop Grumman's cargo resupply services mission that occurred earlier in April. And a fantastic view of the International Space Station. You see the Kibo module to the right-hand side for JAXA, the Columbus module, ESA module to the left of the forward docking port as Dragon continues its approach, and again will hold at waypoint 2.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 with a request to please close the cupola shutters.
I understand you want us to close all of them, or we leave one open for monitoring?
And sorry about that, Jack. You can keep the one you need for SA, and the others you can close.
That does work.
Coming up on 5 seconds until Dragon will reach waypoint 2, which will again be 20 meters in front of the forward docking port of the International Space Station, which you can see right there in the middle of your screen of the Harmony module. JAXA's Kibo module to the right side, ESA's Columbus module to the left. And we anticipate the Dragon cargo spacecraft, once reaching waypoint 2, to execute a 5-minute hold, which it is now made its way to that waypoint 2 mark. And you can see that the motion has stopped. And again, an anticipated 5-minute hold at this moment, again 20 meters away from that forward docking port of the International Space Station. And the teams on the ground have confirmed waypoint 2 arrival and the beginning of the 5-minute hold.
Houston Station, we got the vehicle mode of hold. We're expecting 5 minutes, and we're proceeding into step 4.
Houston copies.
As the 5-minute hold gets underway, the International Space Station and the Dragon cargo spacecraft, now orbiting 260 miles above the Earth, just passing over the eastern border of Mongolia.
Station for the Globe Bravo. The vehicle mode is hold. Primary range is stable, 20, and the vehicle is centered.
Houston copies, good report.
ESA astronaut Sophie Adno reporting down that the vehicle is in its hold and at the proper distance, 20 meters, and is in good alignment. But again, a 5-minute hold is underway, a little more than a minute gone in that hold, and we'll continue to monitor. A little more than 2 minutes into the planned 5-minute hold for the Dragon cargo spacecraft, now just 20 meters away from the forward port of the International Space Station's Harmony module. We are 3 minutes and 40 seconds into the planned 5-minute hold for the Dragon cargo spacecraft at waypoint 2, 28 meters away from the International Space Station. Teams here on the ground in Mission Control Houston and in SpaceX in Hawthorne, California have just now pulled go for final approach and docking. NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission, carrying 6,500 pounds of food, cargo, supplies, and science to the orbiting laboratory. We are now about 50 seconds away from the end of that five-minute hold, and we'll continue to monitor the final leg of Dragon's journey to the orbiting laboratory. And you can start to see the shadows building up on the Dragon cargo spacecraft. Is it in the International Space Station now, making its way into an orbital nighttime?
We see hold transition to approach to align point. We were expecting to see approach to docking ports. Now scratch that, we see the transition now. Vehicle mode's now approach to docking port. We're in block 5.
Houston copies.
Houston Station for the block Bravo.
Houston copies. And with that, 18 meters and closing, as the hold has completed and Dragon has continued its approach on its way to docking, we'll continue to stand by. Anticipated docking about 3.5 minutes from now. Dragon spacecraft now inside 15 meters from the International Space Station. And a great view there, the forward docking port on the right-hand side, and Dragon making that slow, methodical approach off the left. And there you can see some of the minor adjustments it's making to properly align itself with that forward docking port, as we are now 11 meters away, is all that separates the cargo spacecraft and the International Space Station.
Station for Block Bravo. The wrench is 10 meters and decreasing. The vehicle is centered, and the largest error observed is that less than half a degree.
Houston copies. Dragon now 8 meters away from the International Space Station, standing by. And again, you can see those minor adjustments and pushes forward for the Dragon cargo spacecraft to align with that forward docking port on the right side in front of the Harmony module of the International Space Station, now approaching inside 5 meters. Now.
Station, we reach 2 meters, crew hands off point.
Concur.
Crew hands off point, standing by for contact.
Dragon contact and soft capture complete.
Contact and soft capture complete at 5:37 a.m. Central Time, 6:37 a.m. Eastern, as the International Space Station and the Dragon Cargo Resupply Services mission have come together over the Northwest Pacific Ocean. Again, capture confirmed and soft capture completed at 5:37 a.m. Central Time, 6:37 a.m. Eastern Time. NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission has arrived to the International Space Station.
Ring retraction in progress.
And we just heard that the soft capture ring retraction is now in progress. That'll pull the Dragon cargo spacecraft closer to that forward port of the Harmony module, in which the hooks will clamp around to form the hard mate, and we'll monitor those two sets of six hooks that will form the tight seal between the Dragon spacecraft and the International Space Station. And again, thank you for following along with us this morning as NASA's SpaceX's 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission has reached the International Space Station with docking at 5:37 a.m. Central Time at 6:37 a.m. Eastern, as the International Space Station and the Cargo Dragon spacecraft were orbiting 260 miles above the Earth over the Northwest Pacific Ocean. And this will complete a some 37-hour journey for the Dragon spacecraft upon liftoff from Space Launch Complex 40 at Cape Canaveral Space Force Station that occurred on a Friday evening at 6:05 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:05 p.m. Central. And both Dragon and the International Space Station making its way into an orbital at nighttime, so the daylight of the sun will fade off. There you can see the navigation light, the green navigation light, the starboard side of the Dragon cargo spacecraft that NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway and ESA astronaut Sophie Adno, who were monitoring the approach and docking today from the cupola, were using to help monitor the orientation. So again, the 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission between NASA and SpaceX has reached the International Space Station.
Sensor 1, Sensor 2, upon docking complete, are out, and we've started our 5-minute timer.
And we copy.
And that was NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway relaying down to the ground the docking procedures and setting the timer as the soft capture ring being retracted.
Station Houston, ring retraction is complete. Docking sequence is holding for NCS reconfiguration.
Communication there as the ring retraction has been completed, the soft capture ring that is, and setting a pause as the team's configuring additional systems as the Dragon cargo spacecraft has successfully docked to the International Space Station. 5:37 a.m. was contact over the Northwest Pacific Ocean, 6:37 a.m. Eastern time. This mission bringing 6,500 pounds of food, supplies, cargo, and research investigations to the expedition 74 crew. Again, docking this morning at 5:37 a.m. Central, and we'll spend about 1 month docked to the International Space Station before returning to Earth.
Station Houston, MCS is configured, proceeding with hook driving.
Station.
And those commands relayed up to station from the team's air image control, Houston, that the hooks have begun traveling to form the hard mate between the Dragon cargo spacecraft and the International Space Station. Again, it's a total of 12 hooks, two sets of six, the first set now traveling now, and we'll stand by and monitor as, again, the first set of hooks currently traveling, and we'll stand by. This is Mission Control Houston as we continue to monitor the progress of the docking procedures for the Dragon cargo spacecraft. Soft capture ring is retracted and the first set of hooks are currently driving to form the hard mate between the Dragon spacecraft and the International Space Station, which made contact just a few moments ago at 5:37 a.m. Central Time, 6:37 a.m. Eastern. And we'll continue to follow along and monitor those hooks again. 12 hooks in total, two sets of six, the first set currently traveling.
Station, that's 5 minutes past since undocking complete. Sensors 1 and 2 are off.
Houston, copy.
Just received confirmation from the teams on the ground, both in Hawthorne, California, and here in Houston, that the first set of hooks have successfully closed, and the now second set of six are traveling. And again, all to form that hard mate between the Dragon spacecraft and the International Space Station. The view you are seeing is of Dragon from the International Space Station, but they are currently both together orbiting in a orbital nighttime as they are passing over the Pacific Ocean, just past the northeastern portion of Hawaiian, the Hawaiian Islands, some 260 miles above the Earth's surface. And standing by to monitor the second round of hooks closing for a hard capture of the Dragon cargo spacecraft to the International Space Station.
Station Houston, hard capture complete.
SpaceX 34, cargo Dragon, arriving.
So you know when you're on board, it's always a special feeling to welcome a visiting vehicle. It's definitely a milestone over the course of the mission. First, early in the mission, you know it's scheduled, and you're like a kid before Christmas, patiently waiting for that day. Then you review your procedures, talk to the operational ground teams and instructors. And then you witness the successful launch, first round of applause. Then you see it for the first time in the darkness of space. You focus on the procedure, and when docking is complete, the bell rings. We would like to thank you, all of the teams on the ground, SpaceX, NASA, and all of the people working behind the scenes for this enabling such a beautiful docking. Now, let's go to work, because we have a ton of science to do. Let's go science. Let's explore.
Houston copies those great words, and congrats on the new arrivals.
Some great words there from NASA astronaut Jack Hathaway and ESA astronaut Sophie Adno, formally welcoming NASA's SpaceX 34th Commercial Resupply Services mission to the International Space Station with the ringing of the bell. And as Sophie Adno mentioned, that the crew will quickly get to work and begin unpacking the Cargo Dragon spacecraft here in just a couple hours from now. Well, with that, it's been quite a journey since launch for this Commercial Resupply Services mission. It all began, the journey, on Friday evening at 6.05 p.m. Eastern Time, 5.05 p.m. Central, aboard a Falcon 9 rocket. This Cargo Dragon spacecraft, flying for the sixth time, would reach orbit and begin its chase to the International Space Station. And with the successful arrival and docking at 5.37 a.m. Central Time, 6.37 a.m. Eastern, this morning, Sunday, May 17th, 2026. For more information on this mission and all missions and the latest news on NASA and its agency updates, be sure to visit nasa.gov. With Dragon now safely aboard the International Space Station, that concludes today's rendezvous and docking coverage. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope you have a great rest of your Sunday. This is Mission Control Houston.
Station Jack on 2. We show 1.102 is complete, and we'll be waiting for your go to start the the pressurization equalization on the next event on our timeline.
Houston copy is 1.102. We all concur is complete, and we'll let you know when we're ready for the next. Station Houston for Dragon vestibule pressurization and ingress.
And Station Olympia 2 for vestibule pressurization.
Yeah, Jack, in procedure 3.100, you have a go in step 1.1 and in step 2.2.
All right, 3.100, go in 1.1 and 2.2. Put that in work.
Good read.
Houston Station, Jackson 2, the node 2 forward hatch is open and PEV is uncapped.
Houston copies, step 1.5.
Houston, I think you already said it, but I also have a go in step 2.2 for the 8-pass equalization valve. Is that correct?
That is correct, and also just wanted to let you know that we normalize space to ground 4.
Copy, normalize space ground 4, thanks. Houston Station Jackson on 2, step 2.4. GMT time of the 8-pass equalization valve closing was 11.04.
Copy, 11.04.
Houston Station Jack on 2 for timeline.
With you on 2, Jack.
We're checking all our exercise constraints are removed for the rest of the day. We're past that part. Is that your understanding?
Affirm.
Thanks very much.
Station Houston on 2 for vestibule pressurization.
Houston Station Jack on 2 for vestibule pressure.
Yep, Jack, we are still waiting for our calculations on the ground to converge. We think it will be at least another 10 minutes. Just wanted to give you a heads up.
Awesome. Yeah, I appreciate that. 10 more minutes, and cool. I'll be ready when the system is.
Copy.
Houston, Chris on 2 for Dragon cargo ops timeline question.
With you on 2.
Yeah, I was looking at the schedule, and I was thinking I was going to try to use my midday meal time to do my ARED, which means I might start my Dragon transfer maybe 30 minutes late or so,
and I would just make up that time during my scheduled ARED block. And I was just wondering if you think that might have any issues for where we need to get to in Dragon Cargo Ops. If you have like a step we're supposed to get to in that first block before the double cold bag unpack, or if there's any sort of constraints that you think I might run into there if I start a little bit late.
Checking. Back with you on 2, Chris. Station Houston on 2 for vegetable pressurization.
Jack, loading to note 2 for you. Houston, station Sophie on 2 for timeline.
Go ahead.
Am I go to do the relocate SSC activity from cupola to the lab already?
You are go.
Great, thank you.
Houston station, Jack with you on 2. Understand I got a go in 3.1 of vegetable press and ingress.
That's affirmed. You have a go.
Let's do it.
Station Houston on space to ground 2 for Chris.
Station.
Chris is with you on 2.
Yeah, I got an answer for you. We have no constraints on that activity. Today we're just trying to get 2 payloads transferred. But other than that, you can move it to the right, that transfer activity to the right, so you can do ARES.
That sounds great to me. Yeah, I figured there wouldn't be any issue other than, you know, like people constraints and getting into the polars and stuff, but I think we can all work around that. So, yeah, I will just shift some of my Dragon cargo to the right to get my ARED and my Cevas back-to-back. I appreciate the flexibility.
Thanks for the heads up. Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Jack.
Jackson again, too.
Wanted to let you know, you may see this already on your displays, but 3.2, we are go to proceed.
Yeah, see that as well. The caution that's right below that says about 5 minutes to thermally relax the seals. Does look like there's also a 5-minute wait in the procedure here. Should I be waiting 5 more minutes, or what's your take on that caution?
You got that right, Jack. In step 3.7, that's when that 5 minutes is up, so you can continue.
Okay, sorry, I just hadn't looked that far forward. That 5 minutes is in 3.7. Thanks for the clarification.
Houston Station, Sophie on 2 from Cupola for Cupola Shutters.
With you on 2.
I was wondering if we were go to open the Cupola Shutters, so.
Jackie? Sophie, back with you on 2.
With you on 2.
Yeah, Sophie, the constraint on that is contact plus 90 minutes, so our time there would be 12:07 when we can reopen them.
Copy, 12:07. Thank you.
Houston Station, Jackson on 2. I'm finding quite a bit of force to open the APAS hatch unsuccessfully so far. Chris said he had a similar issue last time we did this. Any suggestions just waiting a few minutes for the spec would be great to maybe release the vacuum a little bit. Any thoughts or tips on opening?
Checking. Jack, back with you on 2. We want to check in 3.3. Did you hear the clicks on the tool?
Yeah, we heard the click on the tool, and we checked the rollers, and the rollers are clearly clear of their tracks.
Okay, Jack, we think that is a good config. You have a go to use more force, and feel free to use 2 of you if that helps. We're in on that high five as well.
Station Jack on 2, no condensation inside the vestibule.
Houston copies.
Houston Station Sophie on 2 for SSC.
With you on 2, Sophie.
So close to location of SSC-7, there was also a USB connection, and it says 2 SSC, and it is J3RS232Y cable for RPUP. So should I connect this or just leave it close to the SSC-7? It seems that Chris said he remembers it was connected, but I don't see it in the procedure.
Sophie, you do not need to connect that to the SSD. It can just stay temp stowed until we find a better location for it.
Okay, so Jessica also jumped in and says that it was connected in SSC 7, so yeah, just a heads up.
Okay, we understand, but you do not need to connect that.
Copy, not connecting, and right now it's temp stowed close to the SSC 7.
Copy.
Houston Station checks on 2 for Vestral Press and Step 5.2.1. The aldehyde detectors look like Figure 7. They do not look like Figure 8, so I think I am good to go.
Thank you. Station Houston on 2 for Jack.
Houston Station, Jack on 2.
We concur with your assessment. You have a go to proceed through Step 5.4.
Okay, and I will pass along that we're going to have safety goggles and dust masks here in Node 2 for the next hour or so, and we're ready for final dragon hatch equalization.
Copy, and give us a second here. Station Houston for Step 5.5, standby for equalization. We expect it to take 3 minutes.
Three bits and 5.5.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Jack.
Houston Station, Jack's on 2.
Equalization is complete. You have a go in Step 5.6 for Dragon Hatch Open.
Go in 36. Houston Station, Jack's on 2 for GSC Stowage Location.
With you on 2.
In line 18 of the stow notes, tell me to get the air sampler of the GSC out of the Cetus parts kit in lab overhead 5 kilo 2. I've got the Cetus parts kit out, but it appears just to have Cetus parts in it, not a GSC.
Okay, copy, Jax. We're looking for an alternate location. We were expecting 2 of them to be inside that kit, inside a Ziploc bag. So we'll dig around here.
Okay, I'll keep looking here, see if it's behind something.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for GSC.
Go for station.
Right, we think we have a different, an alternate location for those GSCs. Lab. Overhead 5, Bravo 2, in a 1.0 CTD, labeled IPOM, serial number 1035.
Bravo 2 in a 1.0 1035, I'll have a look. Houston Station, that's a good call. I got the 2 GSCs were in this other spot. I will use serial number 2017.
2017, thank you.
Probably put the other one back in the same 1035 CTV or into the Cetus kit.
Keep it in 1035.
Station. Houston Station, Dragon 2 for Dragon Hatch.
With you on 2.
Dragon Hatch was opened at GMT 1240. Both USOS and Russian air sampling is complete. Dragon had no condensation. General condition is, appears to be neat and tidy with nothing out of place. Yeah, and that's the end of Step 6.7.
Copy all. Thank you.
Station Station and Step 7.4, IMV ducting is installed. We're ready for IMV fan activation.
Hey, Jack. Good to talk to you. Copy. Ducting is installed, and Ethos will get that activated. Thanks.
Thanks very much. Good to hear from you, too.
Houston Station for Dragon and PPE.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Hey, just to let you know that Equals has done his thing, and you guys are going to don PPE at 1335. Correction?
1335. Copy. Thanks very much.
That would be a doff, but that would have been a self-correcting problem. Thanks, Jack.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Houston, Chris on 2 with a timeline question.
Station Houston, go ahead, Chris, for a timeline. Good to talk to you.
Hey, great to talk to you too, Ann. We're trying to sort out, we've got a bunch of split exercise today, and we're trying to sort things out, and I'm trying to figure out is I just wanted to double check if the earliest I can start my Dragon cargo, is that the 35 after that you guys mentioned for the no TPE requirement?
Checking. And Station Chris, thanks for the question. The 1335 is just when you have to take PPE off. You are go to start cargo anytime. We are all ready to support you.
Okay, copy. I might check in with Jack, try to deconflict with him, and might try to get some cargo started early so that I can hop on ARED a little bit early, sort of in my cargo block, and then finish my cargo up a little bit later.
We like the plan. Station Houston on 2, at your convenience for cargo big picture.
Ready to listen for big picture.
Hey, Chris, just wanted to give you a couple sync points so you guys have the understanding on the timeline for the afternoon. The first thing is that we are going to expect that the double cold bag unpack that Jessica and Jack are going to do, that's going to need to go on time because that is synced by timeline with Sophie's orange activity, which is not movable. So we want to keep those keep that started right at 16:10 is the start. Before that double cold bag, we need to be through step 15 in stow track 15, and at the end of the day, we'd like to be at 19.08.
Copy. 15 before the double cold bags and 19.08 before the end of the day. I will pass that on to everybody and let folks know that that's supposed to be on time for the later activities.
Thank you much. Happy Sunday.
Says thank you very much. Happy Sunday right back at you. And from Jack in 10.5, Dragon forward hatch configuration is complete.
Copy, hatch config complete. Thanks. Station Houston on 2 for PPE at your convenience.
Houston Station, go for PPE.
Hey, Jack, you guys are go to DOF PPE. Everything is as needed, so you guys are going to DOF PPE early.
Great news. We'll breathe in the fresh air and continue the loading. Thank you. Houston Station, Jack's on 2. Looking for a go to do my UAV swap early, if that's possible.
Station Houston, Jack, you are go for early UAV swap.
Some thanks for the flex.
Houston, Chris on 2 for stow track step 16.01. Looking for a location to temp stow this. Where do you guys know where we're going to be using this next?
Chris, we are checking.
Copy.
Station Houston for Chris, that equipment will be used at Lab Overhead 6.
Houston, Chris copied Lab Overhead 6. I will attempt to store that back somewhere in the lab and write it down.
Okay, and Station Houston, Chris, while I have you, I have some Delta big picture words for cargo ops today.
Ready for the Deltas.
All right, this comes with good news and bad news. The good news is you guys are already crushing the cargo ops being where you're at. The bad news is we're going to depend on that efficiency today. So Jack has a activity at 1840, and it requires equipment that is from step 34. So we need to get you guys to get all the way to step 34. You can defer the following steps, 19, 20, and 21. 19, 20, and 21, those are listed as unpack steps, but you can just unload and temp stow those CTBs in CASA if you need to. And then if you come across other steps that you want to temp stow rather than unpack, then please just call us down, call it down to us. But 19, 20, 21 we see as ones that you can unload instead of unpack.
Copy that, 19, 20, 21, and we need to get through step 34 for Jack's 18, so that is Melfi activities?
Yes, good words on the 1840 Melfi activities.
Copy all. All right, I'll pass that up. Houston, Chris on 2 for 16.02. That CTV, I just put some stuff in. It's already, I would say, 120% full and difficult to get back into its location. So I don't think I'm going to be able to put two more access cassettes in 1.05194.
Copy, Chris, and we will look for an alternate location.
Send Station Jackson 2 for UDV swap.
Go ahead for the UDV swap.
Hold
1457 was removed from the offload EADA slot. 1484 is currently installed with the vent compressor hose connected to the potential doublinium.
Copy, good config. Thank you. Station Houston on 2 for Chris and cassette stowage at your convenience.
Ready for cassette stowage.
You are on it. It's like you're standing at an ATU, or floating at an ATU, sorry. Earth reference. You can stow those cassettes at Columbus Overhead 2 Delta 2. That's Columbus Overhead 2 Delta 2, and there's a 1.0 CTB 5170.
Copy that, 5170.
Houston Station San Francisco for stowage.
Go ahead on 2.
I am working on step 17.02, and the CTB, 1.0 CTB 5194 in Columbus Overhead 2 Delta 1 is already 120% full overstuffed. So these three items that I'm supposed to put inside are already the size of a half CTB, so no volume possible.
Okay, Sophie, we copy. We are running into this problem. Sorry about that. We are going to talk about a good place to put those if you would like to temp stow them and carry on. It might take us a minute to think about it.
Sure. So I temp stow them in a mesh bag on Columbus Deck 2, right under the Overhead 2 location.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you. Station Houston on 2 for ADCEP cassette stowage.
Houston Station, we're ready to copy your notes on stowage.
Hey, Jack. Sophie had called down about more of those ADCEP cassettes that were not fitting into the CTB that was called out. So for the ADCEP cassettes that don't fit, they can go up in 1.05170. That's 1.05170. That's located at in Columbus, Overhead 2, Delta 2. It's the same place that we directed Chris to a little bit earlier. And you can use 5170 for those ADCEP cassettes until 5170 is full. If that becomes too full, there's a 1.0 that will be created in step 20.05, and you can create that CTB early and put the ADCEP cassettes in there. There's going to be another stowage of ADCEPs in 20.03. All of that said, step 20 is one of the steps that we gave you guys that if you don't want to perform the whole thing, you don't have to yet. And so you may not actually come across the steps, but 20.05 is the step you can do if you need more space for stowage. Please just be clear on your crew notes and stow track where things end up.
Okay, copy all that. We had some trouble finding spots for ADCEPs, so the 1.05170 in Columbus Overhead 2 Deck 2 is first option. If that's going to get full or is full already, we're going to create a 1.0 in step 20.05, which was a today optional step. So we'll do it. We'll make sure we take good notes and crew notes about where things end up.
Good readback. Thanks, Jack.
Houston Station Sophie M2 for sewage.
Go ahead on 2, Sophie.
So two enigmas, unexpected things, where probably you will scratch your heads. Step 18, we are completely unable to open the SSL 1278. This SSL has, when it's, it won't open because there is some stuff under. There is the panel where all of the electrical connectors are, and so really not able to open this. Chris and Jessica took a look, and they confirmed that it's not doable right now, so that this, the whole panel needs to slide before we're able to do that. But obviously, because there are electrical connections made and mated and active, I guess it's not a good thing to do right now.
Okay, Sophie, you would skip step 18 for now. We're going to need to think about that. If you have any visuals for us, like a photo or a video, that might be helpful.
Okay, so Jessica said that we just need some steps to slide the black thing.
We are trying.
And in the previous loading, those steps existed, so probably people will know about this.
Okay,
but for now, I understand. We are going to skip this step and we'll jump to the next one. Another question for step 19, which I was over ambitious and enthusiastic. I started doing this, but there was another not nominal thing. I found one item that was in the CTB and that is left in some track. And this item is a crew specific menu for the Laramie. Number 0202.
Okay, copy the crew-specific menu 0202. You can tempster that. We'll get you a location, and we will talk about the first issue and get you back some steps.
Copy. Thank you very much. Will do.
Station Houston on 2 for Sophie and SSL at your convenience.
Sophie's with you on 2.
Hey, Sophie. We are sorry. That was a miss on our part. There is some access steps, as you clearly ran into, that need to be done before you can open that SSL. And before that, there's some power payload reconfiguration, which is currently scheduled not until Friday. So you are going to just skip step 18 for now. We will get that rescheduled after you can actually get to it. And we are still getting a location for that crew-specific menu.
Coming, skipping step 18, no worries. Thank you, Anne, for your words. And, take your time for the other. It's time still, so no worries.
Copy. Thank you.
Houston, Chris on 2, step 22. There are some formaldehyde tags on the straps of these panels. Do you want us to leave those in place or do anything special with those?
And, Chris, you are go to trash those in common trash.
I'll be coming
to trash, thank you. Station Sophie on 2 for sewage.
Go ahead on 2, Sophie.
Step 20, in 1.0 CTB 5713, there was an extra item that was not listed. It is, I'm going to show it to the camera again, it is the CSM for Kutrich, Sierra 206, S206.
And copy the CSM for Kutrich 5206. You can temp stow that with the other CSP. We will have an answer for you shortly for both of those.
Copy. And another question for this step 20. This time it's 20.03. There is also an asset tail cassette that does not fit into both RTKs that were listed. So I guess, just I wanted to report to you that the two CTBs that we mentioned, so both 5194 and the other one that I don't have the number right now, are full.
Okay, we copy both 5194 and 5170 are full. In step 20.05, you'll be creating another CTB. And you can put that ADCEP in that CTB and just do us a favor and drop a crew note in 20.03 if that's where you put it.
I will do that. And thanks for having the number right under, right for me, 5170. That was great. Thanks a lot.
No problem. I'm cheating. We have paper in front of us down here.
You're awesome.
And Station Houston for the CSMs and CSPs at your convenience. We have a location for you.
I am ready to copy for the location.
Okay, it's just going to go in PMM 1 S1 with all the other food in the 3.05078.
PMM 1 S1, 3.0 CTB 5078. Thank you.
Houston, Chris on 2. I was wondering about the 2.05055, which was in middle forward 22. I had to move this bag to take out to complete steps 29 and 30, and we're wondering if you have a location for where this bag should go. I don't see it on the snow track, or do you want me to re-strap it back in?
Chris, we will check on that probably in a future StoveTrack step, but we will take a few minutes and see if we can get you a good location.
Yeah, it didn't seem to be on our current StoveTrack, and I kind of wanted to only touch it once if I could rather than strap it back in.
We totally understand. We'll see if we can help you out on that. Station Houston on 2 for Chris and 5055 at your convenience.
Ready for it.
Hey, Chris, we're not 100% sure where that's going to end up going, and so we are going to provide you the opportunity to touch it twice. And so if you would do us a favor and just stow it back in Dragon and strap it just so it doesn't float away, we'd appreciate it.
Copy. I will strap it back in Dragon. Then Chris on 2, step 34.02.
Go for 34.02.
I just wanted to double check since there could be some ambiguity here. I found in the CTV two bubble bags of glucose drink kits, but each bubble bag contains quantity 2 glucose drink kits. Am I expecting 4 glucose drink kits and 2 bubble bags, or 4 bubble bags with 2 glucose drink kits each?
We will check on that. Good question. The answer is 2 times 2 is 4, so your initial inkling was correct. 2 bubble bags for a total 4 glucose drink kits.
Okay, thanks. I thought that was all there is in there, but there's a ton of Ziplocs, and I wanted to avoid a Ziploc apocalypse, so I figured I would ask you guys before digging further. Thanks.
That is a new word that will be added to the lore.
As you know, Ziploc apocalypses are frequent occurrences up here.
Indeed they are.
Station Munich, space to ground 2, no response required. For all crew entering Columbus, we will be on board with video now using the VCA 2 starboard camera.
Taking over, we copy all.
Hi Chris, good to work with you today.
Likewise.
Station Huntsville on space to ground 2 for Jack, Jessica, and double cold bag Delta.
Station Jackson 2 for cold bag deltas.
Hey, Jack, Huntsville with you here. The delta we have is for step 4. When you guys are installing the Saatchi biohabitats, we want you to skip removing the vent covers from those habitats. That's going to be steps 4.5, 4.8, 11, and 14.
All right, in step 4 for the Saatchi biohabitats, we're not going to remove the vent covers, and that references 4.8, 4.11, and 4.14.
Affirm, additionally 4.5, so there's going to be 4 habitats, and we're keeping the vent covers, which is Kapton tape, on all of them.
All right, 4.5, 8, 11, 14, 4 habitats, vent covers, on all of them. Sounds good, thanks.
No problem, and we see all 3 field of views, they look good. We're good with the view of nothing in the lab right now. When we start installing items at overhead 2 and overhead 4, we'll look for a field of view adjustment then.
All right, that makes sense to us. We'll plan for that.
Houston, Chris on 2, StoveTrack 34.03 and 34.04.
Go ahead for 34.03 and 4.
Yeah, I found 3 bags matching those descriptions in the CTV. However, the bags say they contain both a humidifier water tank as well as a water tank cover. I just wanted to double-check that the bag, which contains both those items, goes in these places, not just the water tank item itself. Cover is attached to the water tank, so I assume, that's what I'm assuming, but I figured I would just double-check.
And Chris, our inkling is that you are correct, but we will double-check.
Copy that. I'm going to go ahead and stow these, but let me know if I should go back and grab them and do something different.
Okay, we like that plan because we can just now confirm that that is a good config.
Copy. Thank you very much.
So, station on 2 for cold bags.
Go ahead, Jessica.
Cold bag 1060 on PAX complete, and we have the bag and the temp stowed mesh bag with the bricks stowed at GEM deck 1.
We copy 1060 complete, and mesh bag and cold bag at GEM deck 1. Thank you.
Affirm, and we're moving to 1061.
Copy that.
Phoenix Station, Sophie and 2 for Biolab.
Good afternoon, Sophie. We are with you.
Good afternoon, Roger. I just need to go grab my safety goggles and dust mask, and I will be with you. And meanwhile, let me know if the view for the DC-2 camera is good for you.
And thanks for adjusting the camera. The view is good. I'm just standing by.
Enix, Sophie, and Sue, quick question regarding step 2.1.
Yeah, go ahead, Sophie.
Yeah, could you give me a hint of where this video and signal cable is?
We expect it on the right-hand side, on the very top, so in the Alpha 2 area.
Oh, okay, Alpha 2. And I see that this big cable is plugged into the computer already, so, but the end, it's a Y cable, and one end is plugged into the computer, and the laptop video is not plugged.
That's affirmative.
Okay, and so that's good contact?
That is a good config. I think if you can confirm that 2.2 is done, that this cable is connected to the laptop, then all fine. Yep.
So then we are good then.
Affirmative.
So, station on 2, double cold bags.
We are ready.
1061 is unpacked and same location for the dryout.
Copy 1061 done, and we are good at that same location.
Meaning from Sophie, I see no loose parts and no debris, including no yellow debris.
We copy. Good news. Well, then you can press on.
And so I have my safety goggles and mask closed, and I can don them if necessary. Do you want me to put them in the tent, or just... press on with, and just in case I will done them.
And Sophie, we definitely think that should be your preference.
Okay, so with what I saw with the inspection window, I'm very not worried at all, and so I keep them ready in case, but I will not done them right now.
Sounds good to us.
And do you confirm that you're going to do the commanding on step 4.3?
We are checking.
Copy.
So just to double check, so you were just looking for the go in 4.1?
So, yeah, that was, I was also reading all the steps ahead, which are time critical. So, yes, first I will be waiting for the go in step 4.1, and then question for 4.3. Last time it was done per ground commanding, and so I wanted to know if it's going to be also the case.
Okay, we understand your preference is that we will do it from ground, so we are ready to do that.
Copy. And so then if you have the go both for 4.1 and ready to do 4.3, then I am ready to activate the mechanical latch.
Copy. Keep you posted.
Okay, thanks.
And Sophie, you are go to open the incubator door.
I heard the click, and so the door is open.
We see it. Go ahead.
From Sophie, I confirm no yellow flakes or no debris.
And Munich copies.
Consultation on 2 for cold storage.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we are working bag 1039. We opened up Frost, and we actually decided to close it again because there's a huge amount of a white powdery substance that was all floating out into the cabin. So I would recommend we continue to get a vacuum cleaner or something because there was a huge amount of stuff just kind of coming out toward Jack.
Copy that report. Good job on closing the lid, and then just the white powdery substance. Is any of it kind of still in the cabin then liberated, just floating around, or did any of it get on you guys?
Stand by. Let me check. Yeah, there's some. They're kind of staying contained in that area because there's a lot of gem ventilation there, so it's pretty well contained in that spot, moving towards the ventilation ducts where it all kind of gathers in the port end of gem. It wasn't light green, though. It was all white. Seems to be all like a white powdery substance. I don't know if it's maybe the light green material that's described or if it's something else, but it was significantly accumulated all over kind of the inside, like on the edges as soon as he opened it.
Then copy that report, Jessica. Stand by for the moment. We'll get you some words here in a moment.
Okay, copy. The time that we opened it the first time was 4:44, but we shut it like less than about a minute later, so now it's closed.
Copy that.
There's also some of the powdery substance on the insulator lid that we removed. I don't think that we'd be able to wipe it away unless we got like a wet wipe or a white water wipe. Let me know if you recommend that.
Would you mind adjusting the gem camera you guys have currently set up so we can get a sort of view of what's going on? And copy the suggestions. Jessica, I'm still back with you on to for some forward steps. So since we're not quite sure what that powdered substance is, we'll go ahead and treat it with our hazard level 2 response. Keep flowing back in the gym. I'll give you a second to get back.
Okay, yeah, copy has level 2 response. We did want to add one note. We did not put the incubator lid, the black lid, back on. We just closed it. So we still are holding, Jack's still holding that lid as well.
And copy, Jessica. Before we get to the lid real quick, just to clarify, for our high level 2, you guys are good just to keep your goggles and your dust mask on. We would like you to additionally don some silver shield gloves since we're, again, not sure of the nature of the substance. We like the recommendation to use a vacuum. We would advise to use the highest HAZ level vacuum you guys have available, and then we'll have a forward plan for how to bag and dispose of the materials afterwards.
Yeah, I believe we just have one HAZ vacuum. If you know of another one, let me know, and I will go get silver sheet gloves and that vacuum.
Copy that. And then we're assessing right now what to do with the insulator lid, and we'll get you a word shortly.
And Station Houston on 2 for the cleanup. We will be following along in EMER 1B 4.2 for the yellow zone on level 2 hazardous release cleanup.
Okay, copy. Unique from Sophie, quick question.
No, go ahead, Sophie.
I have installed the standard experiment container for rotor alpha EC1 and the commanding. Are you going to take care of this as well for to navigate to centrifuge alpha?
So table 1 you should use.
Yeah, so I did install the first one, but then it seems that after each installation, we need to do some commanding. Or should I install all of them first and manually rotate, and then the commanding comes after? Because it's unclear to me in the procedure.
And that is the understanding. So first insert all the experiment containers. Manual rotate the rotor.
Okay, will do. Okay, all. Phoenix and Sophie, all containers are now installed in rotor alpha. So do you want me to work on rotor Bravo, or do you want us to do the commanding before?
Sophie, we saw that one of the experiment containers is not completely locked. So that is the EC6, the last one that you installed. And that should be then the interface lever there. You please press again that it is really, confirmed closed.
So that's interesting because I opened it and closed it again, and it seems that it was closed. So yep. It seems closed again now. Then
we are checking. So we are having the telemetry then here, and was there a telemetry that showed that it was not locked? But we are checking.
Thanks.
And our telemetry, unfortunately, is still not convinced. Can you do it one more time and really press hard on that lever to convince it?
Okay.
So station on 2 for a few more words about Sprott.
Go ahead, Jessica.
And confirmed.
Yeah, we took another look at the photos, and I think that Jack does think he saw a little bit of the green stuff on the outside, kind of like on the lash that it shows in the figure, but it was when he opened the actual lid that all of the other stuff kind of came floating out. And so the procedure tells you to wipe stuff away with a dry wipe. It's really not something you can wipe away with a dry wipe. It was very powdery and all floated out. So for anything, I mean, we definitely need to vacuum, which we have now, but anything that's kind of needs to be wiped, I think we would need wet wipes of some kind. So we need to know, you know, if we use a disinfectant wipe or a wet wipe or what kind of, or just like a wetted washcloth with water or whatever the recommendation is.
Copy all, Jessica. And then in terms of the powder itself, does it appear to be remaining kind of in a powdered form, or does it look to be potentially dissolving? We're trying to assess what substance might be, and we're looking to rule out potentially ice crystals.
Definitely not ice. The powder has accumulated on some of the vents. I can see it. It was just like a very powdery substance. Definitely was not ice. We would have been able to tell that.
Copy. We appreciate the confirmation on it not being ice. Give us just a moment here, and we're going to have those cleanup steps for you shortly.
So on to, if you like, we can float the camera over, because I can definitely see some of the white powdery substance accumulating on the overhead vent grid in the overhead port location.
Stand by one, Jessica.
Station Houston on 2 for Jessica. We see you working in the gym. Thanks for the work. Right now, our first priority is to ensure that it is contained. Our understanding from your words is that it's on the intake in the gym, that there's none free-floating in the cabin, and we are curious if there are stems still remaining on the lid.
The lid that we removed, there is a little bit of like a dusty substance on it. It's not floating away or anything, but we would have to use a wet wipe to wipe it off. I tried to wipe it off before we saw the rest of it. We just thought it was, you know, a little bit of some of the stuff we were expecting. So I tried to wipe it with a dry wipe, and it, you know, would definitely need a wet wipe to adhere to the surface, but just a very small amount that's on the lid that's here in front of us as well. We don't see any more floating around. I think, you know, the suction's pretty strong in that corner. That upper, the overhead port vent's a really strong one, so I think we were kind of lucky in the location that it just kind of all floated up there. We don't see anything else in the cabin.
Copy, Jessica. We're talking about it.
And so,
in Station Houston on 2 for Jessica, we are still kind of talking about how to move forward with the unknown substance, and so we're looking at compatibility with disinfectant wipes in that lid. We're looking at whether we should just stow the lid and think about it for a little bit, or if we want to clean it up right now. And we're also aware that it's on the intake. So just so you know, I think we're tracking that it's contained to those two locations, and we're just trying to get the best cleanup method up to you.
Okay, copy that. Would you guys or Huntsville like us to move on to a subsequent cold bag while we wait for that, assuming we don't need to access cross and we're just going to other locations that we deem are safe?
If we could get some photo and video, that would be great. Maybe just with a gem camera, if that's easy enough, of both those locations.
Yeah, we can float the camera closer to the vent. I mean, obviously, there's, you know, I can't guarantee that every white speck you see is that, because other stuff accumulates on the vents, but I personally did just vacuum that vent yesterday, so there shouldn't be a whole lot of other stuff on it. I'll float it over there.
Okay, we appreciate that. Thank you. And I lost a right AirPod ear pod while I was there in that area, so if you happen to see that, let me know.
You did find one.
Here we
a right one, and we put it in the lost and found. Can't remember where we found it, but we did find one. We thought it may have been a different crew member who reported one lost, but it was, I think it was a right, not a left. So, could be yours.
Wow. I love working in a closed system. And, yeah, the other left one is left in a container in the deck 4 of node 1 with the spare AirPods.
All right, video tour of the lid area where there's some white substance kind of caked down there. We think we need a wet wipe of some type to get it off. There's a little bit of the same stuff on the inside part of the lid. Yeah, it's unclear whether the stuff that we're seeing kind of caked on to the black part of the lid is the same as the white material that floated out of the actual cooler area. And over to the overhead vent where some of the white flecks are caught up.
That's a super helpful shot, Jack. Thanks.
You're welcome.
And just so you're aware of the discussion going on down here, if we use a vacuum on a certain HAZ levels, then we don't get to use that vacuum anymore. And as you know, vacuums are limited. So we are talking about what we want to do. But it looks like everything's contained. Thanks for the shots.
Okay. Copy. Yeah, we're tracking all that. Doesn't seem to be a way that we could open up the cooler again without having, I think that was an 8-ball sign. I don't think there's a way that we could open up the cooler again without having a vacuum to attract the particles. There's really no way to get in there without it all just kind of coming out again.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks.
All right, if you guys get nothing else, we'll pump the camcorder back on the stand.
We are good with that. Thanks. Station Houston on 2 for the white flakes.
Go ahead.
Hey, a couple things for you. We're going to end up having you proceed through the double cold bag unpack procedure. You'll work with KCOM for the steps, also for the alternate locations for the atoms that were going in frost. We have a question, kind of a clarifying question. Can you take a look at the inside of frost? There's kind of an insulation type of material, and JAXA thinks that maybe these are kind of pieces of that insulation material. We're wondering if you could kind of inspect frost and see if you can find a similar-looking material. And to clarify, that's
so one of Jack's original theories was... Yeah, we have, that's the lid that we took off, and we can hold that up to the camera. It has a white styrofoam-ish material that's what we showed you in the camera view. I was focusing on the black edges of it because that's where the material was accumulating. But Jack was kind of thinking like maybe it was like decomposed foam or something, but it was very, very powdery, so it kind of led us to believe that it didn't really seem like that. But I'll hold that up to the camera for you.
Okay, those are good words. Thanks, and yeah, we'll take that view.
Houston on 2, and this is the lid that I'm talking about. You can see the styrofoam on it, but the material didn't come from when we removed this lid. Like, the first step is removing this lid, and then the second step is actually opening up the cooler itself. And maybe you mean that there's more styrofoam inside that cooler, but that's where the substance was. We wouldn't be able to show you that without opening it up and then releasing more of it.
Okay, that makes
styrofoam,
sense.
As you can see, looks like it's all intact.
Okay, that's awesome. That's good to know. And we will let Jackson think about that a little bit before we keep going.
Okay, sounds good. We will leave everything here, and we'll go work with Huntsville on the next cold back.
Good work.
Huntsville station on 2 for Coldstone.
Jessica, we're with you, and I have some delta or a delta location for the item that was going to go into frost, and you guys are ready to copy.
Okay, yeah, I was just going to check in about that since there are a lot of other things in 1039 if you wanted us to move those. But if you have the delta for that first one, then we can take it and work on 1039 before we move to the next one.
Okay, that's a good thing to say. Yeah, you guys will be picking up inset 5.4 for the remaining items from 1039. But that JAXA PCG container that was going to go into frost, that can go into polar 6, which is currently in Cygnus, starboard 1, 5 nadir.
Okay, copy that. We will put the JAXA PCG in Polar 6, which is in the Cygnus, starboard 1, 5 nadir.
That's a good readback. And then just to reiterate, you are go to press the remainder of the step since we're not tracking any other items we're going to be accessing that frost unit.
Okay, copy.
Huntsville Station, Jacksonville 2 for 5 out of 18, Odyssey Habitat Stowage Location.
With you on 2, Jack?
Okay, we took the 4 dented bags from the habitat, put them in the glacier tray. What's the intent for the habitat itself? Where does that end up?
And Jack, we're tracking that as coal aft 1, Lima 2.
Okay, coal aft 1, Lima 2, and is that a later procedure step? Should we leave it, in the coal bag for now, and then we'll come across it later?
It's 10 stowed per the procedure, and per the stowage note, lines 9 and also 12, it will be stowed at that aft 1, Lima 2 location. So you can temp stow for now, and then by the end, you'll be putting it there.
Okay, we'll temp stow outside of the coal bag for now, and then it'll make it to its final location later. Thanks.
Good read back, and you're welcome.
Houston Station, Cynthia 2 for stowage.
Go ahead on 2, Sophie.
There was another foreigner in, of the CSM type. So Sierra 204, so Sierra 204 CSM for Watkins was an extra item in the 1.0 CTB 5709, and this is step 21. And so because you have given me the location for the previous one, I just went ahead and put it in the same, so it's now in the 3.05078 in PMM 1, starboard 1.
And Sophie, we copy. We like that location. Thank you.
Welcome.
Huntsville Station on 2, bag 1039 is complete. Same location for the double cold bag. Moving on to 1046.
Copy, 1039 complete with a good location. Before you press on to 1046, we are going to hand you back over to Houston. They have some additional cleanup steps they want to walk you through, potentially for the substance by frost. Just as a heads up, since we're still being extra cautious of any potentially liberated particles, we'd like you and Jack, if you're going back into the gym, to read on that PPE.
Okay, copy. We left the PPE there, so we will go through it and put it on. And then we'll wait for you to call.
Copy all.
And Station Houston on 2 for Jessica and Jack. I've got your cleanup steps when you're ready.
We are ready to copy the steps.
Awesome. So the intent here is to keep everything contained and keep you safe while getting things cleaned up and minimizing the use of the vacuum if we don't have to. So in general, we are going to be going exactly per the yellow zone hazardous release block in EMER 1B 4.2. But we're going to add a step here. We think that maybe with Kapton tape, you'll be able to capture the particles that are on the intakes and anything else that you find. So if you could use tape to get those, that would be the first item for cleanup, and then going to the wet wipes, and then kind of, as a last resort, the vacuum. You're obviously okay to use that if you guys determine that that's the only way to clean it up. But if you could give us a heads up about that and what you think, that would be great. Once you have everything done, because we're level 2, that means 3 levels of containment, so we'll need to triple bag that, and then we just want to temp stow it while we all think about what we really want to do for with that material.
Okay, copy. So this would be following the procedure 1 Bravo Yellow 4.2, and we'll try using tape. I think that gray tape is actually better for sticking to things and, you know, using it as an adhesive like that. So I think we'll wad up some gray tape, and then we'll get some wet wipes as well, and we will attempt to clean the vents and anything else that we see, but I don't know that we really see it anywhere else.
Okay, we like the gray tape idea. Thank you much.
And the other question, so that black lid that we showed you goes on top of the frost there. Would you like us to put it back in place? We wouldn't have to open the part where all the rest of the substance is, but we could put it in and also zip that CTB closed.
And Jessica, yes, we would like you to put that lid back on and zip the CTB. Thanks.
Okay, copy.
Station Houston. On 2 for Jessica and Jack, you can give a thumbs up to confirm, but once you're done cleaning, we want you to take a disinfectant wipe to all the places that the white substance was and just give it a once-over to make sure that we don't have any remnants, you know, biology.
Houston Station, Jack on 2 for cleanup.
Go ahead on 2, Jack.
Having some luck with the gray tape on the filters. I'll stick it to the solar shield gloves pretty well. But as we're getting into it, it seems like it's less powdery than maybe we originally described and more like old, degraded, small pieces of styrofoam and less powdery in nature.
Awesome. That's a great description. Thank you.
Houston Station for the cooler lid.
Go ahead on to Jack.
Yeah, I think you want us to open the CTB and put the cover that we have out that we've been cleaning and put it back on. It seems like there's two covers in this setup. There's the cover that's still in there that's closing, that's containing everything that's inside the CTB, and this was another cover on top of it. Do you want us to leave it outside the CTB just so we don't open it again, or do you want us to open the CTB and stow this cover?
In your opinion, does opening the CTB release more, or is the our understanding was that the substance was inside of the inside box in Frox, but if you think that opening the CTB will release something loose in there, please let us know.
Our sense is that opening the CTB is not going to release anymore. And, we're just going to put the lid back in on top.
Copy. We like it.
And we don't see any additional particles coming out as we do that. Do not see.
Copy. Thanks.
Station Huntsville on Space Ground 2 for Jack or Jessica. And big picture over to you for Colt Pouch.
What?
Hey, Jessica, I know that we're running a little bit tight with time here, so just wanted to give you a kind of priority list. If you think you can knock out the remainder of the double cold bags, that would be fantastic, but we also don't want to run you guys into your pre-sleep and sleep periods. Our priority items to get unpacked today are serial numbers 1059 and 1057, since those contain items that are going to be used pretty quickly starting tomorrow for our ops.
Okay, copy 1059 and 1057. I think that we can manage to knock it out, and we can get some extra help if we need, but we'll continue on, and we'll let you know where we end up.
Excellent. Sounds good to us.
This is all station Sophie and 2 for Polar 5.
We are with you, Sophie.
Yeah, so I know that my Polar 5 activity is a bit later, but I was going to ask if I can do it right now, and then after I'm going to help Jack and Jessica for the rest of all of the other activities. So, but am I able to start the Polar 5 now?
Hey, firm, Sophie. You are good to go ahead and start now. We appreciate the volunteering to help Jack and Jessica. And just a reminder to grab those lightweight crowd gloves for your PPE.
Copy, cryo gloves, and no worries, crew teamwork here.
Teamwork makes the dream work. Appreciate it. And Sophie Huntsville back with you for one quick go back.
And 2.
Hey, Sophie, just again, out of an abundance of caution, given the substance that was released in the gem, since you're going to be accessing that module for Melfi 1, we'd like you to go ahead and don goggles and dust mask while you're in there.
Copy, will do.
So, station on 2, bag 1046 is unpacked. We have the ice bricks temp stowed at gem deck 1, and Sophie is using the cold bag for her activity.
We copy 1046 complete. Good config.
And station Houston on 2 for Jessica, your convenience. Hey, Jessica, we're okay with your idea of using the vacuum. Kind of where we're sitting is that we're not 100% sure what it is, right, even though we're 90 to 95% sure. So our thought is that you're going to use the vacuum. We do want you to then triple bag it in hefty bags, but make that reversible, so don't duct tape those down, tie them up so that
in a few days after folks get a chance to look at this. If we want to undo that, we can just pull it back out and use the bags again.
Okay, and confirm you mean the entire vacuum, not just like the vacuum bag?
That's correct, the entire vacuum.
Okay, yeah, copy, we'll do that. Consultation on two for double cold bags.
Go ahead.
48 is complete, and we're going to put that in the same deck one location. We're going to move on to 1057.
Excellent to hear.
Huntsville, Chris on 2 for field of view in 1.1 of 2.001.
Field of view looks great, Chris. We're ready to get started.
Copy. Continuing on in 1.2. Huntsville, Chris on 2 for rhodium install.
Go ahead on 2, Chris.
Yeah, I was just looking at the diagram of where it's drawn out to have the seat track and the laptop desk, and if it comes from the app side like that, it's going to block the spot that we use for our vision testing. I could position it from the forward side and have it in approximately the same location and have probably less interference. I was just wondering if that's a concern that we may have a conflict in the upcoming months.
I copy that, Chris. We're checking.
At Huntsville, if it makes it any easier, I think it'll be in approximately the same position if I have it come from the seat track on the forward side versus the aft side, and I think if it comes from the forward side, I don't see any concerns with anything. So if you're happy with that, I think that's probably the easiest answer.
You beat me to it by 1 second, Chris. We are happy with that. You're good at Chris.
Thanks, Phil. Chris, on 2, we've got chamber 44 and step 1.5.
Copy 44. Is there any way to potentially focus the camera a little bit? We covered that you said it was number 44. It's just the label is pretty blurry on our end. And just for your awareness, we do trust your report on the serial numbers. This is just for the chain of custody requirements for the payloads. And that looks perfect, Chris. Thank you. We copy 44.
Position on 2, we are in step 8.16, so it looks like those items will not all fit in 3 Charlie 3 4. 3 Charlie 1 2 is empty. Would you like us to put 1 in there?
Checking, Jessica.
Until for now, we put the media bag Bemcart serial number 1 into 3 Charlie 1 2, and the rest of them are in the 3 Charlie 3 4 location.
And copy, Jessica. That's a good config. You're good to press.
Until station Sophie and 2 for gem and solar transfer.
Go ahead, Sophie.
And so I'm in gem. First question, is the view of the gem cam 2 okay for you?
Just a few quick adjustments. Give me a second to get those words for you.
And second question, in the meantime, so I have the dust mask on and the cryo gloves on. If I put the safety goggles instead of my reading glasses, it's going to be very tough to read and it will really slow down the process. So I was going to ask if it's okay for you that I keep only my reading glasses. And from what I see no floating particles around there. It seems really clean.
I won't check on that, Sophie, but we copy the reference.
Thank you.
Huntsville, Chris on 2 for chamber 4-5.
We're ready for 4-5.
So station on 2, 1057 is complete, and we sewed that on deck 2 in GEM.
Jessica, copy deck 2, good to hear it's complete. Chris, 45 is good, you're good to press. And Sophie, for the field of view adjustment, we'd like it to be a bit more kind of an overview kind of section of the gem, since you're going to be going around a lot. And our preference is for you to don the safety goggles with the prescription inset, since we are just trying to be extra safe with any of that potential hazardous substances, as we're not sure if you guys have done this vacuuming yet.
Okay, so, it would take a while for me to go grab the thing, but it's okay. I'll make it work. I'll put the safety goggles on and, copy for the adjustment.
Can we copy, Sophie? And we appreciate working with us on this. Yeah, we're just being a bone of caution and rather safe than sorry.
I totally understand, and no worries. It's for better for everyone.
And Station Houston on 2, just for the crew's awareness, we do have the substance that we think from Frost narrowed to one of three substances. Two of them are has zero, but one of them is actually has two. So we're going to keep up with the belt and suspenders until we can really figure out exactly which one that is.
Okay, we copy all.
And Chris, we're checking out once those get in focus. We copy 4647, good spread.
Copy all, continuing in step 2.
Until from Sophie and 2, how's the view now?
Looks fantastic, Sophie, thank you.
Consultation on 2, we're in step 9.4 with the 18 media bags. They will not fit into that location.
Copy, not fitting in 9.4, we'll get you a backup location.
Okay, copy. We got 11 into that location, so we have a remaining 7.
And Jessica, as we go back, from our telemetry on the ground, we're tracking with you guys are putting those into Doer 1. We do need those to go into Doer 3.
We just realized that we're moving them now.
Copy.
Location 2 for those remaining media bags. That first location, that Jack Access 3 Alpha 1-2, had only one item in it. They would fit in there if that's a good spot.
And we're checking on that 3 Alpha 1-2 location, Jessica, but just to give us the kind of warm buzzes down here, can you confirm that all the items that you've been handling into this Muffy 3 have gone into Doer 3? Doer 1's a different set point, so we're going to need to have...
Confirm, everything is in Doer 3.
Excellent, copy. And we'll get you an answer here just a moment about the last location that you called. And Jessica, no issues with that being in the other tray, as long as they're all in the right door. So you guys are good to press.
Hey, yep, they're all in the right door. We did not put them in yet, but we will put them in 3 Alpha, 1, 2, those remaining items. So those would be 7 of the media bags.
Copy the remaining 7. And before you put them in, could we get those serial numbers just so we can track it?
Charlie, 4 Alpha, 5 Alpha, 6 Alpha, 1 Alpha, 2 Alpha, 3 Alpha.
We copy, Jessica. Thank you.
Consultation on 2, 1059 is complete, and same deck 1 for that one. And moving on to the single snow box.
We copy 1059 complete and deck 1. And Jessica, I know we got a report, but just to make sure that everything is good for tomorrow's science, we copy that all the double cold part, the 18 media bags are all in the correct tour. But additionally, for step 9.3, those suspension bags for MEF1, those are also in Doer 3, correct?
Confirm. Jack very briefly put them in Doer 1, but we removed them and put them all in Media 3, but per the procedure execute note, only one of them is in the, only one of the suspension bags is in there. It said to temp stow the other 6 in a mesh bag. Was that not correct?
You have the correct config. We just wanted to make sure that the one was in Doer 3 and all the other ones are in a correct location. So thank you very much for that.
Okay, you're welcome.
Huntsville, Chris, on 2 for Rhodium.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I took pictures of each of the pairs of BioQVets. It wasn't clear to me, do they need to be arranged in any specific way on this laptop desk on overhead 6, or what are we looking, are we looking for anything in particular? Otherwise, they're up there, and I've got all photos taken.
No specific orientation is required the way they are set up now,
dude. In MLC 1, Doer 1, Charlie, Section 3-4, I won't be able to fit the 16 bags. They are already in, but I need another location for the 12 inoculation bag.
And Sophie Huntsville is with you on 2. We just got back from a very short LOS, but I do copy you were saying the inoculation bags, the 12 of them, are not going to fit into that Melvi location. We'll get you a backup one.
Thank you. And if possible, I'd like a plan where I put all the 12 in the same location.
And we'll check on that, Delphi. And Chris Huntsville back with you on 2. In case you missed my call from that LOS there, the configuration you had is A-OK. There's no specific orientation that is required.
Okay, Okay, copy. And you just wanted pictures of all of the pairs of cuvettes, as well as just one overview picture of each of the chambers. Is that correct?
Affirm, Chris. And you can go ahead and leave the serial number of that trust card either in a crew note or call it down. Got it 125.
Copy. The card that was in this camera doesn't actually have a serial number on it, so I'm going to label it rhodium and put it in our held cards. Hope that's okay.
Copy. We will take a barcode if you have it, but if not, as long as it is retained, it's fine with us.
Huntsville, Chris on 2, I just showed you all the information I have on that card. I don't know if any of that is useful. There's no IFS barcode or anything on it. There is a QR code on the back that says 23140 Foxtrot 454603.
Can we copy all, Chris? We're still TULOS, but copy the report of the QR code on the back, and we are content with just, like you said, just putting that label rhodium on it. As long as it's retained, that's good with us. We appreciate it.
It is labeled and retained. Photos are on SSC-7.
Copy 7. Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Sophie and Cold Storage location.
Huntsville, Sophie is with you. I was at the other Melfi for the rest of the erection tubes, so happy to Sophie be with new location.
Yeah, no worries, Sophie. Just a quick clarification. The inoculation bags, since the first part of the call got cut off, you are talking about the MEF-1 inoculation bags that were going into a Trey Charlie, correct? Not the auxilium bags?
Hey, sir, that's correct.
Copy. And those MEF-1 bags, those can go at the same Melfi. So Melfi-1, it can go Dewar 1, Trey Delta, Section 1-2.
Okay, I just have Melfi-1, then 1-Delta-1-2. Thank you.
You're welcome. Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for... It wouldn't be a good day of science without at least a few go-backs. So for the orientation of those modules on the laptop desk, they do actually matter just a little bit. We want to try and minimize any shadowing that's occurring between the chambers. So you are good to put them all in a straight horizontal line across the laptop desk. We think that will prevent any shadows from the overhead lights from impacting the science collection.
Okay, copy. So, yep, I can do that. Is there an orientation? Because clearly the ones that are kind of pointing inwards or like towards each other are going to have less light than the ones that are pointing directly at the lights. Or do you want them all at like 45 degrees?
I'm checking on that, Chris. One second. And Chris Huntsville is back with you. There is no specific orientation required for each individual cuvette. The PDS requested just a kind of generic horizontal line. They're tracking the discrepancies in the types of shape between each of them.
Hey, Chris copies all. I'll grab some more Velcro squares and I'll make them all in a line.
Much appreciated, Chris. Thank you.
Huntsville Station on 2. The cold cell box is complete. Those items with the icebergs are on GEM Deck 2.
Copy GEM Deck 2. Thank you, Jessica.
So, Chris on 2, I put all those chambers in a line, the sides with cuvettes 1 and 2 on each of the chambers is facing station F.
We copy that, Chris. We see the config in the overview view, the lab SAV rather. Looks good to us. Copy comes up.
So station on 2 for stowage.
Go ahead, on 2.
Just double-checking the suspension bags, 6 of them that we temp stowed in 9.2. We don't see that in the stow note. It says for a later stable activity, but which stable would you like us to put them by?
And we're checking on that, Jessica. There's 2 stables for an upcoming, or 2 different ones for upcoming answer on 1850. I'll get you the answer here in just a second.
All right, copy.
And Jessica, that's going to be stable here number 2, which is overhead 1, delta 2.
Overhead 1 in the lab. We'll put that there and move on to the next activities.
Copy that. Good config.
Huntsville from station, Sophie for
double call bag. So for your information, I'm going to go back to the Dragon to put the desiccant because it was I did include some of the desiccant. It was everything was floating away everywhere. So I decided to put everything in a mesh bag, including the desiccant. So I'm not. And now that everything is stowed in the proper location, Melfi and I counted all the items, so we are good. I just need to go back to Dragon to put the desiccant.
I copy that. Everything is in a good config. You seem to go back to Dragon to regather those desiccants. Just let us know when you have those inside of the Polaris, and we'll be good to go.
Copy. And Hansel from Sophie also for your information. Double callback 1046 is going to say episode drain in Gem Deck 5 over the North End.
We copy Gem Deck 5, and Sophie, just to help you a little bit, those desiccants, you can either put them back into the polar, or we're tracking, they can also be trashed. So, your preference.
I'm not sure I understood, so you say it's either back in the polar or trashed. I'm here to serve whatever is better for you.
You can go ahead and just trash those in the common trash.
Okay, trashing the desiccants in the common trash, and so now in the polar of Dragon, there is no more desiccants. And so we're all good config. I'm just going to go ahead and check the polar of the Dragon to be sure that it's all above and everything, but it's just a double check to be sure.
We like that plan, Sophie.
Huntsville Station, Sophie and 2, I can confirm Polar 5 is in good config, so go for a ground commandment.
Marvelous, Sophie, we appreciate that. And Station Huntsville on Fixed Ground 2 for all USOS crew, just an overview of the ops we need to have completed for today. The remaining hard schedule activities on Jack's timeline with MEF-1 are a priority for ops tomorrow, along with the LSG work volume deploy. The MEF-1 hardware gather and cue card print on Jessica can both be completed tomorrow if you would prefer, or you can knock them out today, it's your preference. But the only things that have to be done tonight are the activities on Jack's timeline.
Station copies all.
Until Station Sophian 2 for a question.
Here with you on 2 for an answer.
Thanks. So I'm doing Jack's activity at 18:45, and I understand it's all going to go in SADL as the activity right after this standby one. Okay, sorry. So I was going to say, I understand it's for insert in SADL, but at no point in the procedure I see that I should cancel them in a double call bag or whatever other thing. So I was going to go with a mesh bag, and is that okay or not?
No, this is a mesh bag, Sophie.
Hey, go for a mesh bag. Thanks.
Huntsville Station Jackson 2 for my 1850 stable insert task.
Go ahead, Jack.
There's no stone notes, just an execution note. So in steps 1 through 3, there's already biocell habitats, serial numbers A and B in there. Jessica and I just did that a little bit ago. So I'm not quite sure what you guys want me to accomplish in steps 1-3. It seems like it's already done.
And Jack, can you confirm for us that the biocell habitats you're seeing in there are serial numbers A and B? We're checking that there should be about 4 in there total.
Sorry, it's pretty loud in here. Can you say that one more time?
No worries. We were tracking. He confirmed for us that serial numbers Alpha and Bravo are those biocell habitats that are in that table tray.
Yeah. Habitats Alpha and Bravo are in there on the tray now. They were in there when I opened the hatch, so I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to do with those.
Stand by one, Jack. We're checking. We're tracking in general that there should be 4 total items in there, so one moment while we get you the full words on it.
Yes, copy.
Huntsville, Station on 2, LSG work volume is deployed.
Copy, LSG work volume deploy. And Chris, while I have you, if you can give us one quick answer from your veggie activity earlier, please leave in the crew note or call us down. We are looking for where you put those cold blocks to dry out just so we can get those restowed once they're dry.
And Huntsville, Chris on two, we left those in the mesh bag on Columbus Deck 1.
Columbus Deck 1, thank you very much. Station Huntsville on Space Ground 2 for Jack and clarification.
Huntsville Jack on 2 for clarification.
So just to get everything squared away, for the items that were going to be in that table, you are correct that we put two biocell habitats in there during your double cold bag unpack. The remaining two that are supposed to go into that table, Sophie has right now. They were from the previous activity, and that's why we're going to have four total at the end. So no further action for you at this time. Sophie's inserting them at this moment, so sorry for the confusion there.
Oh, yeah, I see you're putting them in there now. Perfect. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Station Huntsville on Space Ground 2 for Jessica, and real quick, let's tell Jack.
Go for Station on 2.
Hey, Jack. Sorry to bother you guys. We saw the crew note on the double cold bag unpack about CTD 5712. We were tracking that the cold stow box that you guys reported at GEM Deck 2 would have been inside of that CTB. We are not okay with the config of the cold stow box being deployed at GEM Deck 2 without a CTB around it. This is a flammability concern while the unit is drying out. You are good to use any 1.0 CTB or the 5712 to stow that cold stow box in, but we will need that stowed before you guys go to bed tonight.
Okay, we'll pull that CTV back out and put the cold stove box inside of the CTV. Not a problem. Thanks for keeping us honest.
Appreciate it. Hope you all have a great night.
Thanks. You too.